MontereyBayGreenBusiness.org. And this show is dedicated to Patricia Hamilton, author of California Healthy, for her donation to Tomorrow Matters. If you'd like to dedicate a show to yourself or someone you love, you can contact me at tomorrow@DeborahLindsay.com. Thank you for giving me part of your day. And remember,
Progressive Talk,
tomorrow really
matters.
Monterey
Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The roust of the polygamy compound in El Dorado, Texas. 401 children bussed out of the retreat, taken to a shelter with their mothers. The fathers separated from their complicated families and told they have no right, at least for now, to see their kids. CBS's Manuel Gallegos.
We don't really know what gave that judge cause to take all 401 children taken from that compound and to put them in to state custody, basically to take them away from their parents or whoever may have been caring for them at that compound.
Officials said wait for the court papers. The predicate for the raid was a reported telephone plea from someone claiming to be a 16-year-old girl who said she'd been forced to marry a 50-year-old man and have his baby. She's not yet been found if she was there. Like a movie plot, a hacker getting into the IRS's own computers. It's possible.
There's a security gap in the IRS routers and switchers, according to an Inspector General's report from the Treasury Department, saying data could easily be sent almost anywhere by an unscrupulous employee or one of many outside contractors who are system administrators. One alarming sentence says a hacker might even, quote, gain full control of the IRS network. A statement from the IRS says security is being improved, and there are systems to detect intrusions. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
This was Paris, as the Olympic torch tried to move through the city and had to be extinguished and put on a bus, lest the crowd of protesters get it. Their complaint with China is the same as that of the cable climbers who unfurled a banner high up on the Golden Gate Bridge today.
This is a once-in-a-generation opportunity to try to get them to understand that if they want to be a player on the global stage, as they're seeking to be with the Olympics, then they're going to have to change their policies of oppression and torture and abuse.
Laurel Sutherland perched on the cable talking to KCBS today. The banner said, "One world, one dream, free Tibet." The Olympic torch moves through the San Francisco streets on Wednesday. President Bush is urging Congress to pass the free trade deal with Colombia, which he fast-tracked today with his signature.
Approving this agreement is urgent for our national security reasons. Colombia is one of our strongest allies in the Western Hemisphere.
The bill will remove taxes on non-agricultural goods in both directions, a net benefit to U.S. businesses, which are the only ones paying those tariffs right now. Six against one. A gang of teenage girls who police say beat up a lone girl in Lakeland, Florida. Polk County Sheriff Grady Judd.
It's pack mentality. They lured her there to beat her and beat her and beat her, and they left her with a concussion.
Two teenage boys allegedly waited outside the home as lookouts. The plan, allegedly, to videotape it all and put it on the Internet. On Wall Street, the Dow up about 3 points on the day. The Nasdaq lost six. Oil at $109.09 a barrel, up $2.86. This is CBS News.
I want a healthcare company that helps me stay healthy.
Staying healthy matters. That's why Aetna believes in the power of preventive care. We offer plans that cover a range of preventive services, from annual checkups to well baby visits, at no cost to our members.
It's like they say, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
We want you to know. Aetna. To learn more, go to Aetna.com.
Plans offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company. Health insurance plans contain exclusions and limitations.
Hey, man, is that a Garmin Nuvi?
Indeedy. It came strapped with Bluetooth for hands-free calling. And I programmed it to make only left turns from now until Election Day. It's pretty cool, huh, buddy?
Turn left in 0.2 miles.
Yeah, brilliant. You do know that three left turns equals one ridiculously long right turn, right?
Recalculating.
Thank you, Professor B. Hatenstein. You've crushed my dreams completely.
Follow the leader. I'm Garmin Nuvi, and I approved this message.
Bluetooth not available on all models.
Another reason to turn off the boob tube and put your kids in bed on time.
New studies show how kids are harmed when they don't get enough sleep. One finds teens with bedroom TVs have lower grades and bad health and exercise habits. Two others link sleep deprivation to emotional and behavioral problems. And at Harvard, researcher Elsie Taveras finds infants and toddlers have a higher risk of becoming obese by age 3 if they get less than 12 hours sleep a night and watch more than 2 hours of TV a day.
Lack of sleep and TV is a particularly harmful combination.
Her study in the Archives of Pediatrics and Adolescent Medicine. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
In Wakatane, New Zealand, police arrested a local man who allegedly picked up a hedgehog and threw it at a 15-year-old boy. Hedgehogs can be kind of cute, but they're prickly, and the critter left a few puncture marks and a big red welt on the boy's leg. The hedgehog was dead when the police got there, though whether being thrown killed it or whether what was thrown was already dead just isn't known right now. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Tell me what you want.
Dell has people talking. Like the customer who wrote, "There is no other choice when it comes to quality, performance, and value." Value like saving $220 now on a select Dell Vostra laptop featuring Intel Core 2 Duo processor. Put Dell to work for your small business at Dell.com/radio. Prices do not include taxes and other fees. Limited time offer. U.S. only, subject to change.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents A Word from Your Dipstick.
You know what they say, if you want good advice, ask a dipstick.
That's what they say.
Yes.
I think I'd rather go to a Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer when I need an oil change or anything else.
Well, I guess you want a professional opinion, huh?
Well, the dealer knows my car. You know, I'd much rather talk to them than to a drumstick.
Dipstick.
Sorry.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service. Come in, keep going.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
I think we're ready. It's time for a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, beaming your way from San Francisco.
On your mark, ready, set, let's go. Dance floor pro, I know, you know. I go psycho when my new joint hit. Just can't sit, gotta get jiggy with it.
There is so much to talk about and just a little time to do it. 3 hours we have with you today. We'll do our best to cover the important stories in the news. We'll kick it off with the acknowledgement that Mark Penn has become a drag on the Clinton campaign, the chief strategist and chief executive at a huge PR firm in Washington, a guy who's just a walking set of conflicts of interest. He has kind of stepped down from the campaign. We'll talk about that with Ari Melber from The Nation and other publications. He'll be joining us in a moment. Later this hour, Joe Sestak, who was scheduled to join us on Friday, due to our technical problems, he has kindly agreed to join us today. Joe is a former admiral. He rose to the rank of vice admiral in the Navy, and we talked off the air on Friday. He insists I call him Joe, but it'll be Admiral Joe or Sir Joe, because I believe that he is a man we all owe a great debt to, because he defeated Curt Weldon, a longtime Republican congressman and a military complex feeder from Pennsylvania. Joe Sestak will be with us coming up later this hour. He's going to talk about the Petraeus Parade coming to Capitol Hill tomorrow. And then we're going to get some advance reaction from Raed Jarar, an actual Iraqi. In the American media, do you ever hear the voices of Iraqis asked about U.S. policy and the continuing occupation there? The answer is usually no. Well, we'll do something a little different. Then we'll shift gears and talk about the burgeoning Indian casino population around the country. Barbara Dreyfus has written an interesting article in the American Prospect, and we'll talk with her about it. And we have been talking about Don Siegelman, the former Democratic governor of Alabama. He got about, maybe 3 minutes, but not enough on 60 Minutes last night. They did do a follow-up to their original story on his plight. But at the root of of Don Siegelman's prosecution and the reporting that Larissa Alexandrovna has shared with us over the past few months, it shows that the agenda has been to pack the courts at the state and federal level with pro-business judges. And Larissa really opened my eyes last week when we talked about how this pro-business judge campaign has led to remarkable shifts in Alabama and Mississippi. And in Mississippi, that led to Don Siegelman's incarceration. I'm sorry, Alabama. I get those states backwards sometimes. So James Sample is going to join us from the Brennan Center at New York University to call attention to a case in Wisconsin where a judicial race features a pro-business candidate with a whole lot of money on one side, and he's campaigning against an alleged liberal judge with a Willie Horton-style commercial. It's really ugly, and we're going to talk about that with James Sample from the Brennan Center coming up in the second hour today. And we'll lead off the third hour with Cindy Sheehan. Of course, the leader of a peace movement trying to get a meeting with President Bush to talk about the death of her son, Casey. And I've supported her in so many cases over the last few years, but as you'll find out, I do not support her challenge to sitting Speaker Nancy Pelosi in her San Francisco Democratic congressional district this fall. And I think it's going to be a lively discussion with Cindy. That's coming up to kick off the Free Speech Zone later today. It's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Call in toll-free at 888-5. Peter B., 888-573-8372. And the email works. It's peter@peterbcollins.com. Ari Melber writes for The Nation and other publications, and he joins us again today. Hello, Ari.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. And you?
Doing well.
Tell me if you can hear okay. We had all kinds of technical problems the other day, and I'm the guy who fixed it, so we're in really bad shape here.
Good. Well, you sound good now.
Okay. You can hear me all right. That's the important part. Well, Ari, I wanted to talk with you about the kind of limited resignation of Mark Penn. Now, according to an article that's up right now at the Huffington Post, he's quoted as saying, "I'll continue to play a senior role in the campaign. I don't regret meeting with Colombia's ambassador this past week, and that the situation has played itself out in the press." He doesn't seem terribly apologetic, as he has allegedly been dumped from a senior role in the campaign.
Yeah, I mean, the campaign announced in a very short statement that he was no longer the chief strategist, but that he would continue to provide senior-level polling and advice, and that his firm would continue to conduct polling, which, as I'm sure your listeners realize, is very expensive. He's collected several million dollars from the campaign already, and Senator Clinton's campaign, as you know, is cash-strapped. She had to loan it money, and she has not been as successful raising money as Barack Obama. So for her supporters, it's a question of how much more money this particular individual should get if his role is being reduced.
Mm-hmm.
And with regard to Colombia, you know, what you can say about Mark Penn is that he's been very clear that his business interests come first. In this case, of course, acting as an intermediary or a sort of a U.S.-designated lobbyist for the government of Colombia, he's free to do that. He's free to talk about it. And unfortunately for Senator Clinton, it conflicts directly with what she is trying to do as a candidate and as a U.S. senator, which is what we call a conflict of interest.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, even before this episode, Ari, I have raised concerns, and I'm not alone, about the role that Mark Penn and his partner Doug Schoen in the political company have played in recent elections in Venezuela. And while, you know, Hugo Chavez is not a perfect fellow, he's got his problems, we have been meddling in the internal affairs of Venezuela. We participated in the effort to depose Chavez back in, about 2002. And so it's a pretty sordid spectacle to have these senior advisors to the Clinton campaign not only have foreign clients, but have clients who, in this case, represent a direct conflict to a public political position of this senator.
I think that's absolutely right. You see it in Venezuela. You see it in that his firm used to represent Blackwater, which, of course, the FBI found in an independent investigation was responsible for over 10 civilian deaths in Iraq in a single incident. Obviously, many other important questions about Blackwater continue to swirl around the company. You see it across the board. The Nation, as far back as last May, had a cover story about many of the conflicts of interest with Mark Penn. And this, by the way, Illinois was an issue when he used to advise President Clinton, but also was on the payroll for Microsoft when it was under a very serious sort of investigation and ongoing litigation with the Justice Department. The real issue, though, I think, for the campaign is not that, you know, we can all criticize some of Mark Penn's business choices and profiting off the war profiteers, for example. I think we would all agree that's just wrong. But more specifically, that Senator Clinton, even after all this talk, even after this little title change that I don't think really matters, she, for whatever reason, refuses to completely remove this person from her inner circle of advisors. I don't know why, but I think that's a real problem for her and her candidacy.
And so that does beg the question, and I'll just follow up with it. Why is he so essential? Why can't she simply say, you're toast, and Mark Penn, you're out of my campaign. Thank you very much. I don't need you anymore.
I mean, I don't know in one answer. I can say that, you know, that he has been such a critical inside player for both her and her husband for so long, since the 96 campaign, that they feel that he has, to them, I'm saying, they feel he has been there, he has been loyal, and they are uncomfortable at the idea of completely losing him, when of course they feel that they've lost other people, basically over the years through 98, through impeachment, through other problems, that they like to stick by the people who have stuck by them. But again, loyalty has its limits. There have to be substantive boundaries here. There have to be standards for the people you keep around you. And you know, the real irony, of course, Peter, is we have seen several people in both campaigns dropped for one intemperate statement, for one, you know, gaffe, basically. And yet it's often the people who have real substantive problems, real business problems, conflicts of interest, who somehow manage to stick around because they're powerful. It's really upside down.
Well, and for my money, and I think everybody knows, I support Obama over Clinton. But if Hillary managed to win the nomination and faces off against John McCain in the fall, it will not only make her vulnerable to this, influence of lobbyists kind of attack, but it will remove a line of attack that the Democrats have, a very ripe one, on John McCain for his reliance on Charlie Black and a whole inner circle of advisors who are lobbyists for industries that have benefited from the Commerce Committee and other work of Senator McCain.
I think that's right, and I think that John Edwards and to some extent Barack Obama have led on this issue of saying it does matter who your inner circle is. It matters whether you use lobbyists as advisors or to set policy, and it is harder to make an argument about truly changing the culture of Washington and the way things get done and the way that, unfortunately, business has a stranglehold if you do not, of course, start with your own group of people, your own advisors, and make sure that they come in with their policy hat on, not their business or lobbyist hat on. And the way you do that, and just to be clear, the way you do that is if you have someone who may have lobbied in the past or may have, you know, their corporate agenda, they should sever all of that work before they join your campaign, and obviously by law when they join your administration. But it should happen first. And it's, you know, Karl Rove did that for George Bush. I wouldn't usually hold him up as an example of anything. He did drop his business clients, which is more than Mark Penn did.
We're going to take a break and return with Ari Melber, who writes for The Nation. Read him at thenation.com. We're talking about Mark Penn's shifting role in the Clinton campaign. If you have a question or comment, bring it on now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Slow down, you move too fast.
This is Professor Mossberg, your host here at KRXA for the Poetry Slowdown. T.S. Eliot said, April is the cruelest month. What is cruel about April? Think about it for yourself. Call me on the show or write me at Barbara@KRXA540.com. We want to know your ideas for Cruel April. Sundays, right here on KRXA at high noon.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Cornerstone Wellness Center in Monterey specializes in reducing stress and pain in your body. With six professionals, Cornerstone offers hormone balancing for men and women, all natural, no side effects. With our bodies filled with toxins and aches and pains, this approach works. I'm Sheila Gale, and I've lived with chronic neck pain for years. Trina Hammack uses a technique called quantum biofeedback, which to me is a miracle. I feel better and better each day, physically and mentally. Cornerstone offers lymphatic drainage, infrared saunas, ionic foot baths, massage, estheticians, and body strengthening specifically for your body so you'll start living pain-free naturally. Tired of taking medicine? Homeopathy and top-of-the-line essential oils are used. Finally, an alternative that works. Cornerstone Wellness Center, 1088 Cass Street, Monterey. Call today, 373-6204, 373-6204.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. It's 22 minutes after the hour. About 10 minutes from now, Democratic congressman from Pennsylvania, a freshman named Joe Sestak, admiral to you. He'll be joining us, and my first question is going to be real simple. Congressman, what is the Democratic strategy in 2008 to end the war?
I feel so extraordinary. Something's got a hold on me. I get this feeling I'm in motion. A certain sense of liberty.
The Peter B. Collins Show is sponsored by Poly Point Press and John Gorenfeld's new book, Bad Moon Rising, all about Reverend Sung Myung Moon. Visit kingofamerica.com and watch the video. It's powerful stuff. That's www.kingofamerica.com. And we continue with Ari Melber from The Nation. He also writes for The Politico and other publications. Ari, we're talking about Mark Penn and this flap over his relationship to Colombia. Colombia has canceled the $300,000+ contract with Burson Marsteller. And so he comes up a loser twice on this particular episode. But isn't the bigger picture here that the strategy that he has insisted on touting her experience and her ability to take charge from day one. Isn't that strategy coming up short? And wouldn't this be a convenient time for them to bring in, Dick Morris or somebody?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's wide consensus, even among very strong Hillary supporters, that he has not served her well and that he has not focused on the main selling points she would have needed to convince more of the Democratic electorate that she was the right person at the right time for the challenges the nation faces. There was a real sense of Clinton fatigue. There's a real sense that, whether, again, fairly or not, that all the talk about experience put attention on the Clinton administration, on what her husband had done, and on this the definition of experience, which eventually Barack Obama was also able to chip away at, instead of talking about the future and why she would be a good progressive Democratic candidate, which is typically what most primary voters care about, particularly after 8 years of this criminal administration under George W. Bush.
And so do you think this is just a sleight of hand that he'll remain a central player just with a different title and a less visible role? Or do you think that it's time for Carville and Begala? I was kidding about Dick Morris.
No, I don't just think it. This is what they said. I mean, it was actually funny, Peter, a lot of times the press gets the same information on certain big stories like this, which is an announcement. And then you can just sort of see all the different ways that it's covered. On thenation.com, I basically wrote, okay, he lost his title, and they're tweaking titles, and then I mentioned, as we've discussed, that it doesn't resolve any conflicts of interest because the conflicts come from his dual roles, whether you call him chief strategist or a million-dollar polling friend or anything else in between. He still has the job. And yet, as you've seen as well, the Associated Press and other coverage made it sound like he's left. He hasn't left. He has the job. He's being paid. He's a strategic player, although he has less of a role. I think if you're sitting out there supporting Hillary Clinton and hoping she can turn this around, yeah, the first thing you'd want to do is get rid of him and get her talking more about her progressive vision for the United States and less about, experience ready to lead on day one, which has not worked.
Yeah. And, of course, this is inconvenient because Pennsylvania is critical. Jobs and NAFTA trade agreements are very important. And it's inconvenient for the Clinton campaign, the timing here, because President Bush, fresh back from his lover's weekend with Vladimir Putin, is touting a new trade deal with Colombia that, as we referenced, Senator Clinton is opposed to. But this creates the perception that Mark Penn would have been able to wheedle or wield enough influence to make this agreement work as well for Colombia as it appears to be on the Bush agenda.
Exactly. I mean, I think, again, this is a situation where Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton are saying similar things about jobs, trade, and trying to get us out of this economic mess. The difference that you see when you peel that back is she obviously has a lot of people who continue to fight for the corporate agenda, Mark Penn and the other lobbyists. And again, as I said before, that's their right. It's a free country. The problem is not that they're necessarily doing it like it's illegal. It's legal. They can represent free trade. The problem is their boss is saying the opposite thing. And so it does muddle the message, and it does raise substantive questions about if these are the people that are in her inner circle that are advising her on everything she does now, and she were to win, wouldn't they be the same people with chits to pay and favors to repay advising her in the White House? I think that's something that you're going to see the unions continue to raise.
Yeah. Well, and I think in some cases Obama is too nice about this stuff and doesn't tend to propel these further. But he has an incredible opening here to contrast himself with Clinton in terms of who advises him and what their corporate ties may or may not be. And, I also think that after what happened in Ohio about the Canadian NAFTA story that appeared to be mostly fictitious, that Obama needs to make sure that he doesn't get bitten again by this particular issue.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Peter, these are the times when personally I really do miss John Edwards' role in this campaign.
Yeah.
Because it would be different if he were out there right now, if he was allowed to continue the longer race.
Oh, that's just the music. We got to run in about 20 seconds. Finish your thought. Go ahead.
Oh, and, if you go on YouTube, there's a great popular video right now that says, why he cannot endorse Hillary, and it plays some of his old criticisms.
Now I got to go. Ari Melber from The Nation. Thank you, Ari.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by Emerson. Whatever the demand, whatever the challenge, with Emerson, you can consider it solved. I'm Charles Osgood. Things have been getting better and better. Have you noticed that? You haven't? Well, neither have I, to tell you the truth. One thing that hasn't been getting better and better is the quality of airline service.
It's gotten worse every year since 2003, and this is the worst it's ever been in 18 years.
Dr. Dean Headley of Wichita State University is co-author of the latest annual airline quality rating released today. Read it and weep.
On time and baggage handling and the whole volume of complaints got worse.
60% worse than last year for 15 of the 16 airlines in the study, Mesa Airlines being the only exception. More moaning and groaning after this for Emerson. With millions of new homes being built in China, finding an energy-responsible way of heating and cooling them becomes critical. That's why businesses turn to Emerson. Emerson accurately predicts what world trends mean for them so that Emerson can create the technologies that allow homeowners to cut energy usage and their electric bills. Emerson anticipates customer needs so that when they're ready, Emerson's ready. Emerson, consider it solved.
Tell me what you want. Dell has people talking, like the customer who wrote exactly what small businesses have needed for years. Need savings too? Take $250 off on a select Dell Vostro desktop with a 20-inch widescreen flat panel monitor featuring Intel Core 2 Duo processor. Put Dell to work for your small business at dell.com/radio. Prices do not include taxes and other fees. Limited time offer. U.S. only, subject to change.
In the new airline quality study, on-time performance was down for the fifth straight year. Not by much, admittedly.
It slipped from like 75 to 73. And so most people would not notice that, but you just have to note the fact that it's going the wrong direction.
Of all the things passengers do complain about, says co-author Dean Headley,
the number one complaint there is a category called flight problems, which has to do with delayed, canceled flights that didn't happen for a variety of reasons.
We've told you about the $20 billion makeover of air traffic control that's in the works. Much needed, says the quality study.
Air traffic control probably is, if not the single, it's one of the two or three biggest issues that has to get solved. It's dangerous, it's antiquated, it's inefficient from a fuel standpoint. How we keep airplanes up in the air and how we force them through route structures is just crazy.
The question is, who's going to pay for it? The airlines say they can't. But with soaring fuel costs, they've slashed jobs and passenger amenities, and they've added fees.
The airlines have really little incentive.
As to the outlook for the future?
I would say much of the same or worse. Yeah, very much so.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you have the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The Retirement Specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the Retirement Specialist.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
I'm I believe it's time to bring American forces home from the occupation of Iraq. And all we're going to get is General Petraeus coming home to issue another one of those hopeful reports on Capitol Hill this week. This half hour, we give you two views. A little bit later, you'll hear from an actual Iraqi, Raed Jarar, of the American Friends Service Committee. Joining me now is Congressman Joe Sestak, a Democrat from Pennsylvania, a freshman, as they call it, a first-termer. And I will always be in your debt, Joe Sestak, because you're the man who retired Kurt Weldon.
Aboard. Appreciate that, Peter.
Well, thank you for coming aboard, and we had to abort our cruise on Friday to stay in the naval metaphor there. Joe Sestak, by the way, rose to the rank of Vice Admiral in some 30 years of service in the United States Navy. He's a West Point graduate, too. And, I'm sorry, Annapolis. I can't mix up my service academies. And you were kind enough to reschedule after we had a technical meltdown here at the Secret Studio on Friday, and I thank you for your flexibility. However, the timing is even more appropriate because tomorrow is when General Petraeus will be convened before one or more committees on Capitol Hill. And, Congressman, let me start with a tough question, and then we'll get into what you expect from Petraeus and Ryan Crocker, if he makes the scene as well. And that is, what is the Democratic strategy in 2008 to change the president's policy, end the occupation of Iraq, and bring our troops home as expeditiously as possible?
I think the right strategy that's been articulated is that we will begin immediately a redeployment of at least 1 to 2 brigade combat teams a month, knowing that there's 40 brigade combat teams equivalent in Iraq. We can only get through Kuwait about 2 a month. And beginning that redeployment applies the necessary leverage on the Iraqi government. Understand that wonderful saying in Iraq and other countries, inshallah, God willing, tomorrow. No, there's not enough more tomorrows for America's security. We must begin the redeployment. And second, we must begin a diplomatic surge because the road out of Iraq is diplomatically through Iran. So we need to bring Iran, Syria, Saudi Arabia, who have extreme influence on the extreme elements, into play. Because our intelligence council, the National Intelligence Council, has told us Iran does not want instability if we're not there. So a deliberate redeployment to salvage our own security puts the pressure on the Iraqis to step to the plate and then bring in the surrounding countries that don't want instability if we're not there. That's the game changer. Political accommodation will give you military security. Military security won't give you political accommodation, as you've seen even today in Iraq.
All right, sir. And so when would this begin? It would begin with the swearing in of a new president next January. Nothing will really happen in 2008. Am I correct?
That's correct. You'll see it about 60 days, I'm sure. It's about 60 days. Senator Clinton on her side has said 60 days after she assumes office, and I'm sure Senator Obama is approximately the same.
And so, Congressman, there will be no move this year to cut off funds or to attach restrictions or conditions to supplemental bills for the occupation of Iraq in order to try to change the president's policy? Have we simply given up because the Republicans won't cooperate?
I think what you've seen is an acceptance of the cold, brutal facts of reality, which is there aren't the votes in the Senate side to stop a filibuster at 60. Now, I also want to be quite upfront. I would be willing to cut off funds, to vote for an appropriations bill that would cut off funds given at least a year. Assuredly, and I feel more comfortably, 50 to 24 months. And the reason is that it will take us, with 40 brigade combat team equivalents in Iraq, at least that amount of time to get the troops out safely. And I know it might be nice to say cut off the funds for the last emergency supplemental that will take us to October 31st, which is the end of the fiscal year.
Mm-hmm.
But that's 6 months. Remember Somalia, Black Hawk down October 3rd, 1993, as they dragged our poor Rangers through the streets? We had 6,300 troops in Somalia. It took us 6 months to to get them out safely, and we inserted 19,000 service members in the region to protect them in what's the most vulnerable of military operations, withdrawal. There's 160,000 troops in Iraq, 180,000 foreign contractors. To get down one road, road Tampa into Kuwait, mm-hmm. where they can only take two brigade combat teams at a time, never mind the civilians that need to come out, I know it would be a nice victory, say, cut off funding for 31 October, but the fact of the matter is, for the safety of our troops, they need minimum of a year.
Well, that, sir, I can sit still for. What I want to see is progress on the legislative and funding front that shows that the Democrats are willing to confront this administration on its poor judgment, poor planning, and reckless treatment of our troops, including reserves and National Guardsmen who are there on third or fourth tours.
Here's what I think the Congress should have done in order to have achieved at least some of what you wanted to. And I think this started with the failure of the first Petraeus report, and I feel we're responsible again for the failure of the second Petraeus report that will begin tomorrow. We should have been holding up a national mirror to the country and saying that we have, by default, placed in the position a man to determine solely by himself U.S. national security policy, when in fact General Petraeus is responsible only for Iraq's military security. What we should be having tomorrow and on Tuesday, Wednesday when they come before the House is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff sitting next to him to answer the question. Tell me, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, because General Petraeus can't answer this question. America, can it meet any other war plan timeline with our engagement in Iraq? You can't. Oh, how about the 28,000 men and women wearing the cloth of the nation in South Korea? Could we protect them? Oh, the divisions that are supposed to go there can't do it. Well, let me ask you this. General Hayden, head of the CIA, who should be sitting there, is it true you've said that Al-Qaeda has a safe haven now, that where it all began, the poorest border regions between Afghanistan and Pakistan, it is? Well, then tell me, Mr. Treasury Department, is it true this war cost is $2 to $3 trillion? It is, and 45% of our debt is owned by a foreign country. So in search, what I'm saying, Peter, to you is the failure of the Congress to hold up a national mirror to the public and say it isn't about Iraq's military security, it's about our national security, hasn't permitted us to convince enough Republicans and others to say stop our army from unraveling, stop it from hurting American security, begin the redeployment, even if it isn't in 6 months, at least start redeploying, and that failure to reach across the aisle and have some sort of a compromise, at least get 10 brigade combat teams, five more than General Petraeus wants by the summer out, because our army is going to unravel if we don't. Even that step, we've abdicated, because sometimes I think what Shelby Foote said in the great CBS series, PBS series, The Civil War, that Americans forgot what they do best, compromise, and civil war ensued. If we could have compromised a bit more, we might be halfway down the road to what you want, Peter.
Congressman,
I was looking at it, but that's what I feel would be the best strategy.
We're talking with Joe Sestak, Democratic congressman from Pennsylvania, former Navy admiral. And on the Armed Services Committee, when you get to talk with General Petraeus on Wednesday, one other question that I would like to hear asked is, where is Admiral Fallon? And could he not be at your side today to explain the differences between the two of you that led to his early retirement?
Admiral Fallon is one of the great leaders of our military. I felt that he was truly, Peter, one of those men, and I knew him well, and I actually talked to him 5 days prior to his retirement announcement, that truly spoke his mind quite candidly. I also quite feel strongly that one of the great untold stories of this war and all and what's ensued since then is where were our Joint Chiefs of Staff and other leaders. To my mind, is standing up to a tough boss like Mr. Rumsfeld and all really takes something. And I think that General Admiral Fallon is one of those leaders of which we should have many more.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that, you know, General Petraeus will be responsive at all to lines of questioning related to Admiral Fallon's departure and our interests or our orientation toward Iran? Because, Congressman, the last few weeks have been causing me a kind of whiplash as we first heard John McCain falsely represent that Al-Qaeda individuals were going into Iran, being trained, coming back into Iraq. What we know to be true is that we set up a government in Baghdad that is as friendly as Tehran as could be, toward Tehran as could be, and that what we're now presiding over is a civil war between various Shiite groups that are duking it out for turf and power, and those who appear to be ready to prevail are either the forces of Muqtada al-Sadr or those of the Maliki government and the Skiri, the Supreme Council, which are tightly allied with Iran. This is a lose-lose situation for the United States.
You're very insightful. We actually intervened on the side in Basra of the of Iranians' allies in this issue. I mean, and so the real question is, wait a moment, if you think you've improved military security in Baghdad, which I think a lot had to do with ethnic cleansing and other, you know, think about it. We have no one down in Basra. Are we about to intervene in that mess? No, you're right, Peter, and that's why this is the wrong strategy in Iraq. Military security does not beget political accommodation. It's the exact reverse, and that's why the redeployment must begin, because it leverages the Iraqis to understand we may have broken it, but we're not going to own it forever. Take Northern Ireland. Only when the political leaders of Ian Paisley, Protestant, Jerry Adams, Catholic, when those two political religious leaders came together and figuratively shook hands and had political accommodations, did the militia stand down? It's only when you get the leadership of the various parties in Iraq to understand it's you that have to assume responsibility politically. Will their militias follow them and have political accommodation? And as long as we stay the course, as long as we accept General Petraeus the same, it's conditions-based, which by definition means open-ended, then we will continue to stay there open-ended. We are America. We should not permit another country to set the conditions upon which we will move apart when our national security elsewhere and here at home are suffering significantly.
Congressman Joe Sestak, just about a minute remaining here, sir. What are the prospects for you in Pennsylvania on your primary coming up April 22nd and for the candidate you support, Hillary Clinton?
I think Pennsylvania suits her like a glove. They're Slovaks who have come over working in steel mills, tough, scrappy, hard types of people. And that's what I support Senator Clinton. Is she really is someone who keeps on going? But Senator Obama, let me tell you, if he is the final nominee, I'm going to support him 110% like I do her. This primary season has been great because we've made two great people who care deeply and passionate about this nation better candidates, because we've got to change this nation's direction.
All right, Congressman, a pleasure to talk with you. Let's do it again.
Thank you very much, Peter.
Joe Sestak, Democrat from Pennsylvania, freshman running for re-election. Hope he makes it. And a Hillary Clinton supporter. Some strong comments there on General Petraeus' visit to Washington starting tomorrow. We'll get comments from Iraqi exile Raed Jarrah next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Sofas, dinette sets, mattresses, and more. If you have a home furnishing need, we're the place you need to be. So come on down to your friendly town of Marina and visit us. Furniture Outlet, 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in Marina.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Do you want some downtime? A break from work and worry without breaking the bank? At the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes in Watsonville will give you the breathing space you need. The Spa at Pajaro Dunes is now open to the general public. Spend an hour being pampered with a warm stone massage or European facial. Gather your friends together for a spa party or surprise your sweetie with a couples massage. Stay for a long, lazy weekend in a luxurious condo at the Dunes with 150 acres of beach and wetlands. You'll have your own ocean view, and the price is unbeatable. Only a short drive from anywhere on the Central Coast, relief is only minutes away without the time and expense of a long trip. We'll also simplify your wedding plans. Have your ceremony, guests, and special events all in the same place. In nearby Watsonville, at the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes will make your life a little easier and a lot more enjoyable. Call 888-91-DUNES and mention KRXA to get our lowest rates. That's 888-91-DUNES.
Do you love KRXA 540? Show your support for our radio station by placing a bumper sticker on the bumper of your vehicle. Click on the bumper sticker at KRXA540.com and think for yourself.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I got to see Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band Saturday night, and they rocked through this song. Really powerful stuff. Haunting question, who will be the last to die for the mistake that Bush made sending us into Iraq and this occupation that has lasted for more than 5 years now? And as I like to point out, the American media rarely brings you authentic voices of actual Iraqis. And Ed Girard returns to our program today, affiliated with the American Friends Service Committee and formerly affiliated with Global Exchange here in San Francisco. Ed, always a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you very much for having me again.
Well, sir, I appreciate your point of view, and as I say, our media doesn't really give much attention to the authentic views of Iraqis like yourself. So I wanted to just get your general sense of what you think General Petraeus is going to report and how much it is different from the facts on the ground in your native country.
I don't think General Petraeus will bring a lot of news tomorrow regarding Iraq. I think he will continue repeating what the Bush administration has been saying for the last month. He will not mention anything about the deteriorating situation in Iraq. I don't think he will point out that 75% of the population don't have access to basic services, and 75% of the population are unemployed. I don't think he will bring to the attention that the current Iraqi puppet executive branch that is supported by the U.S. is not popular and it's not legitimate in the eyes of Iraqis. So what we will hear is a repetition of what this administration has been saying about the situation in Iraq enhancing and whatever other lies they are talking about, or they will try to exaggerate the effects of a U.S. withdrawal. They will say the Iraqis, quote-unquote, want us there, and if we withdrew, the sky will fall. So, I mean, all of these things, as you were saying, disregard what the majority of Iraqis and what the majority of the Iraqi elected officials are demanding. 70% of the Iraqi public are demanding a U.S. withdrawal, and we will see millions of Iraqis, maybe at least 1 million Iraqis, demonstrating in the streets of Baghdad in a couple of days, demanding a withdrawal of all of the occupation forces. These things don't really make it to the U.S. media or mainstream politicians.
Yes. And I think, you know, some of the other things that we can expect to hear are that the surge has worked or is working. But, Riad, I'm one of those people who believes that there's this false sense of improvement in Iraq. Because, as you well know, we have almost 100,000 Sunnis who are being paid every day by the United States not to attack Americans. And their loyalties would shift if we stopped paying them or somebody else paid them just a little bit more. The ethnic cleansing, particularly in Baghdad, has created ghettos or, you know, very identified gated communities. It's a little different from what we call them in the suburbs of the U.S. But, you know, basically the Mahdi army controls Sadr City and other neighborhoods there. And during the conflict in Basra a week and a half ago, the Iraqi police officers and soldiers who had been assigned to monitor Sadr City handed over control to the forces of Muqtada al-Sadr. And likewise, the so-called ceasefire that came out of the conflict in Basra has, you know, empowered al-Sadr much more than the Maliki government.
Well, I think the events in Basra were a good example of how the mainstream media in the U.S. has been repeating wrong analysis about the situation in Iraq during the last years. We were told repeatedly that the major reason for violence in Iraq is the sectarian divisions and ancient hatred that is putting Sunnis and Shiites against each other. This is what the mainstream media has been repeating for years. While Iraqis in general, including myself, have been saying that the conflict is not sectarian or religious-based, but it's rather political and economic. There are some Sunnis and some Shiites who are allied with the U.S. fighting against other Sunnis and other Shiites who are against the U.S. occupation and against partitioning of Iraq. So the Basra events were an excellent example of how some Shiites allied with the Bush administration attacked other Shiites who are against the occupation and against partitioning, not because of sectarian reasons, not because of religious reasons, but because of very pure political and economic differences between the two groups. Now, what we saw during the conflict is that some Sunnis and some seculars took the side of the Shiites in the executive branch, and some other Sunnis and some other seculars took the side of the Shiites on the ground and in the legislative branch. Mm-hmm. And by the legislative branch, I mean al-Sadr. And by the executive branch, of course, I'm indicating to the Prime Minister and Mr. Al-Hakim of the Supreme Council. So it's very important to understand that the dynamics of the conflict are not sectarian. They are political and economic. And once we understand that, we see how big of a lie is this myth of, you know, a civil war pending, a genocide pending around the corner where Sunnis will kill Shiites. Or Shiites will kill Sunnis, because this is not true. There are some Sunnis and Shiites who are allied with the administration, with the U.S., who are fighting against other Sunnis and Shiites because of political reasons. And what will happen once the U.S. withdraws is that these different political groups will reach to a reconciliation politically. Mm-hmm. There is no doubt for Iraqis that there is no such a thing as a Sunni-Shiite civil war. I mean, this is not happening, and it will not happen in the future.
And civil war will be a term you won't hear from General Petraeus. Maybe people will ask him, but I'm sure he won't affirm that. Riad, less than a minute remaining. What would you like to add about the situation in Iraq and what Petraeus will portray?
Petraeus will repeat another very dangerous lie that the U.S. should continue supporting the Iraqi armed forces, and he will call them the Iraqi army. For the majority of Iraqis, they view the U.S. role in training Iraqi forces the same way that Latin Americans view the role of the U.S. in the School of the Americas, training assassins and mercenaries who go back and kill their own people. So training the Iraqi forces is being portrayed as this good thing that is neutral, but for an Iraqi, from an Iraqi perspective, it's actually the U.S. meddling among Iraqis, supporting one side against the other.
Indeed. Riad, I really appreciate you joining us today. We'll talk again.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Thank you, sir. That's Riad Giarar, Iraq consultant for the American Friends Service Committee. As we continue, Barbara Dreyfus will join us, a reporter for the American Prospect, and we're going to talk about the proliferation of Indian casinos across the nation.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties.
The Christians is centered on Satan.
The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader, from Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor. You name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at The King of
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Raid on a polygamous sect in Texas.
Child Protective Services has now taken temporary legal custody of 401 children.
The Olympic torch snuffed in Paris.
The Beijing Olympic organizers build this worldwide torch relay, the journey of harmony, not.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. In rural West Texas, the community founded by polygamist leader Warren Jeffs has been raided, and more than 400 children have been taken into custody. Marley Meisner of Texas Child Protective Services says this was triggered by a 16-year-old girl who called police saying she'd had a baby at the age of 15 with her 50-year-old husband.
At this point in time, I cannot confirm that we have found the original 16-year-old victim. We may have found her. We are not certain. Remember, these interviews, you can only imagine, 401 children.
It's an extraordinary move by a state district judge, and as CBS News correspondent Manuel Gallegos reports, it's not entirely explained.
We don't really know what gave that judge cause to take all 401 children taken from that compound and to put them in to state custody, basically to take them away from their parents or whoever may have been caring for them at that compound. There were all sorts of questions of state authorities by reporters at a press conference about why are they doing this and how are they justifying it. Basically, the spokesperson for Child Protective Services said that it will all be apparent in court documents that will be made public.
Now this.
Tell me what you want. Dell has people talking, like the customer who wrote exactly what small businesses have needed for years. Need savings too? Take $250 off on a select Dell Vostro desktop with a 20-inch widescreen flat panel monitor featuring Intel Core 2 Duo processor. Put Dell to work for your small business at dell.com/radio. Prices do not include taxes and other fees. Limited time offer. U.S. only, subject to change.
Hi, I'm the owner of an auto body shop, and since we added Aflac to our benefits package at no direct cost to me, all my employees say the same thing. I want
Aflac.
Since we added Aflac, my whole business is running smooth.
Call 1-800-99-AFLAC or go to aflacforbusiness.com. American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
The Olympic torch is igniting protests as it travels from Athens to Beijing for the Summer Games. Today's anti-Chinese demonstrations forced officials to snuff out the torch and carry it by bus through a mob of protesters chanting Free Tibet. More from CBS News correspondent Mark Phillips.
The Chinese, who have been hoping to use these games as a showcase for their newfound prosperity and power, have dismissed the protesters as a small group of Tibetan separatists. But this torch relay fiasco has been deeply embarrassing for them. And it may well unsettle the big Olympic corporate sponsors as well. The top five alone spent $500 million on the last games and are poised to spend a lot more this time. The risk of being tainted by association with Chinese policy has become a real one for these companies.
In San Francisco today, protesters unfurled the Tibetan flag on the Golden Gate Bridge. More than a decade after the death of Princess Diana, this might be the final word. A coroner's jury in London ruled today that while Diana and her boyfriend, Dodi Al-Fayed, were not murdered, they were unlawfully killed in that Paris car crash. CBS News correspondent Sheila McVicker explains.
The jury has said that the manner in which their Mercedes was driven, plus the manner in which the following paparazzi drove in pursuit, contributed to the cause of the crash. They also cite that the couple were not wearing seatbelts.
The claims of Al-Fayed's father that the couple were the victims of a British royal family murder plot were rejected. Diana's sons, William and Harry, put out a statement saying they agree with today's verdict. Back from his tour of Eastern Europe, President Bush hit the ground running today, sending the controversial Colombia Free Trade Agreement up to Capitol Hill.
If Congress fails to approve this agreement, it would not only abandon a brave ally, it would send a signal throughout the region that America cannot be counted on to support its friends.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. Under the law, once the president sends the free trade deal to Congress, the House has to vote up or down in 60 days before sending it to the Senate. At the moment, its prospects are not good. Democratic presidential candidates Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton have been pounding free trade agreements on the campaign trail. And House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says until there's a new law to help displaced American workers, they won't be approving any new trade agreements.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
I want a health care company that helps me stay healthy.
Staying healthy matters. That's why Aetna believes in the power of preventive care. We offer plans that cover a range of preventive services from annual checkups to well baby visits at no cost to our members.
It's like they say, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
We want you to know. Aetna. To learn more, go to Aetna.com.
Plans offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company. Health insurance plans contain exclusions and limitations.
Hey man, is that a Garmin Nuvi?
Indeed. It came strapped with Bluetooth for hands-free calling. And I programmed it to make only left turns from now until Election Day. It's pretty cool, huh, buddy?
Turn left in 0.2 miles.
Yeah, brilliant. You do know that three left turns equals one ridiculously long right turn, right?
Recalculating.
Thank you, Professor B. Haydenstein. You've crushed my dreams completely.
Follow the leader. I'm Garmin Nuvi, and I approved this message.
Bluetooth not available on all models.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. Almost everywhere within the sound of my voice, there is a casino operated by a Native American tribe. They have proliferated. We're going to talk about that this half hour. And a little later this hour, we're going to talk about packing the courts with pro-business judges. We've seen it at the Supreme Court with Alito and Roberts. We've seen it at the state court level, recently talking about Alabama and Mississippi. And another state is facing a confrontation like this. It's the state of Wisconsin. And James Sample from the Brennan Center at New York University will be joining us later this hour to fill you in on that one. And next hour, we open up the free speech zone with Cindy Sheehan. The peace activist has announced she is challenging Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, in her San Francisco congressional district. And I actually don't support this one. We're going to have a lively conversation with Cindy just about an hour from now. Music of the moment's from the OJs. It's called For the Love of Money. And the guy who co-wrote this song, Kenny Gamble, well, he's at the center of that recent controversy at the Department of Housing and Urban Development that led to the departure of Alfonso Johnson last week. And people will do almost anything for the love of money. Barbara T. Dreyfus joins us on the program today. She's part of the powerful journalistic couple with our friend Robert Dreyfus, who joins us almost regularly on the program. Barbara, how are you today?
Very good, thank you, Peter.
Nice to talk with you. And you've written a piece in the American Prospects March issue called Politicians Bet the Farm. And it's the way state after state has made deals with Indian tribes to bring more and more casinos into the picture. And it's created something very large and in many respects out of control. In the article, you point out that over the last 10 years or so, the amount of Indian gaming has roughly doubled. Casinos took in $32.4 billion in gross gaming revenues in 2006. That's about double the $17 billion of 10 years earlier. So this is a huge phenomenon. And let's start with the positives. What are the positives? What do states see in granting sovereign Indian tribes the ability to develop these casinos?
Well, what they're hoping for is a lot of money. And in order for an Indian tribe to set up a casino and set up slot machines, they have to sign a compact with the state government. In those compacts, the states say how much money they want to get from the Indian tribes.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, states are hoping to get money from commercial casinos. And more states are not only allowing commercial casinos, but in the most outrageous case so far, Kansas this past year decided to set up their own commercial casinos. And again, they are hoping for state revenues.
Mm-hmm.
So as more and more states, especially now with the economy the way it is, coming into financial crisis, state governments are looking to casinos to bail them out.
Right. Well, and we just passed some ballot measures here in California that expand the compacts, particularly with a tribe near San Diego, that is going to double or triple the number of slot machines that they have in one location. And it's all very murky to me. First of all, Barbara, to the extent that you know, these compacts seem to be kind of one-way deals, because we have this uncomfortable historical reality that the Indian tribes are sovereign and that they essentially have the right to build these casinos or store nuclear waste or make moonshine or, you know, do almost anything on their lands, because technically they're supposed to be in complete control of them. But we've seen games played on both sides where tribes that were virtually non-existent have reappeared and said, well, we happen to have a parcel of land in this urban or suburban area, and it's our right to build a casino here. And that creates land use problems, issues for the local community about cost and traffic and police. And so these are built on a fairly wobbly legal footing. Is that correct?
Yeah, there are two things on that. One is a lot of the Indian tribes are claiming lands all across the country to build casinos. Take, for example, a lot of the tribes in Oklahoma. Oklahoma obviously is an out-of-the-way state for large numbers of people, and the tribes there did not get that much business on their casinos. So they have been looking at lands all across the country, in Connecticut, in the South, and finding some sort of historical documents to make claims to land all around the country. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they've dropped those claims as local governments pay them monies to do so. But the kinds of land claims that they've made have been totally outrageous, really. So that's one side of it, making land claims all across the country, because where you happen to have your tribe is not a an area conducive to a lucrative casino.
Right, yeah, we used to raise buffalo, but raising a slot machine is a whole different enterprise.
Right. And the other side of it is, who's behind a lot of these casinos? There is a big debate and discussion in Massachusetts over Indian tribe expansion there. And in that state, the Indian tribe that's particularly trying to get a casino is really backed by the two of the richest men from Australia. These are two men that set up very lucrative casinos in Australia, and
really?
Now are trying to expand in Massachusetts.
Is Kerry Packer one of them?
That name does not ring a bell.
Okay. I just know he's got a huge gambling habit, and he's a flamboyant guy who has owned television stations and that sort of thing, and I do believe he's one of the wealthiest people in Australia, but I just don't know. Let me tell you a quick story here, Barbara, because I do like to gamble a little. I'm a small stakes guy, and my game is craps. And one of the reasons I'm not very fond of Indian casinos is, at least here on the West Coast, they don't get involved in gaming tables. It's almost all slot machines and keno games and things like that. So they're not very attractive to me. But I learned a very powerful lesson one time playing craps at a little club in London, because there was a man across from me who I was there for about an hour, hour and a half, and I managed to lose, let's say, a little under 100 U.S. And during that time, he lost more than $200,000 U.S. And I watched him as they kept bringing him little papers to sign, and that would produce more chips. And at one point, I was rolling the dice, and this guy lost almost $100,000 betting on me. And it just really kind of opened my eyes about how much money is involved, and how for some people this is a true addiction and obsession that requires increasing amounts of stimulation or risk for them to enjoy themselves. And so it left a kind of indelible impression on me that, yeah, you know, I think gambling can be fun. But when you really look at the big picture, it is a huge business that's based on taking money from foolish people. And it creates a whole lot of pain and suffering and a world of hurt. And we've seen the gambling industry in this country kind of recast itself as gaming, a kinder and gentler way to take money from foolish people. But have you seen any sense that there is a recognition, particularly by the states that are sanctioning this, and Kansas, which is getting into the gambling business, that they have crossed a line into exploiting their very own citizens?
It seems like the legislators and governors don't seem to recognize that, although I must say in Massachusetts, the governor who has been pushing this was soundly defeated about 2 weeks ago when the state house voted down his plans to expand gambling into Massachusetts. But by and large, states have allowed either expansion of Indian gambling or expansion of commercial gambling by the state legislators and the governors, even over the opposition of the public. Iowa is a good example. There were at least two referendums. There was about to be a third referendum, all of which had voted down gambling, and then the legislature okayed it. Massachusetts, as I said, the House voted against it. Maine, here again, the legislature has endorsed expansion of gambling in Maine, but Governor Baldacci and the public in a referendum in November defeated it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's public opposition to gaming in many places and at many times, but it's been the legislators and the governors looking for what they think is an easier way to get money than taxing.
Right, and a lot of this is about this phobia of raising taxes. And, you know, giving more casinos, is that an indirect tax? Well, in many respects it is, on the police and the traffic control and other issues that are impacted. We're going to take a break and return with Barbara Dreyfus. She's a senior correspondent for the American Prospect, and this article about Indian casinos called Politicians Bet the Farm is in the March issue. Got a comment? Call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale. Listen to my show every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. 2 hours of in-depth talk on effective ways to help us get through life's greatest challenges, whatever the crisis. Addictions, illness, fears, breakups, money problems. I'll bring in the expert guests and we'll do it with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Sun Street Centers. For alcohol and drug treatment, go to www.sunstreetcenters.com.
Checking traffic on KRXA, and good news as we kick things off this afternoon. No stalls, no accidents to report from Monterey, Santa Cruz, or Salinas. Just some debris, both items on Highway 17. South 17 before Mount Hermon Road, reportedly a log in the right-hand lane. South 17 at Granite Creek, we had reports of bamboo fencing. That may be in the right lane as well. Some pedestrians on the roadway, heads up. Northbound 101 at San Ardo. Apparently a couple of hitchhikers a little too close to the roadway, so CHP is on the way to check up there. And in Gilroy, South 101 at 152, a couple of pedestrians very close to the freeway. CHP is on the scene. There may be some heavy traffic. People slowing down to check out what's going on there. This is brought to you by H&R Block. You got people. There are only 8 days left until tax deadline. Stressing out? Well, relax, because H&R Block is here for you. Call 1-800-HR-BLOCK today. You got people. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call. 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Your star should guide us.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Put us on this reservation to go away.
our ways of life. The tomahawk and the Bowie knife. Took away our native tongue and taught their English to our young.
Goes back a few years, about 1968. Paul Revere and the Raiders. It's called Indian Reservation. We're talking about casinos that have proliferated across the United States, owned or at least licensed to Native Americans. Often right behind them are the very same gaming companies that control the legal casinos or the legal non-reservation casinos in places like Las Vegas, Atlantic City, Detroit. And this experiment with gambling is growing exponentially. Barbara Dreyfus writes about it in the March issue of the American Prospect. And, Barbara, one of the points that you make in the article is that these compacts that are negotiated between state governments and Native American tribes often don't hold up because the tribes essentially can walk away from them. You say that in Michigan, they promise to abide by certain rules and pay certain amounts to the state, and many of the tribes are non-compliant.
Yes, that certainly happened in Michigan, where eight tribes just decided the state had violated the compacts and stopped paying. Indian tribes also are supposed to be using that money for development on the reservation, but often they're not. A Detroit Free Press investigation showed that they used money for all kinds of things, like paying taxes of the leadership of the tribe, doing videos for public relations of the tribe, and similar things.
Well, they've been making a lot of political campaign contributions, too.
Yes, definitely. And I think it's also true of the commercial casinos. There again, the states are hoping to get wagering taxes from the casinos, and the casinos pay that. But what the states lose are sales revenues that people would otherwise be giving to the state, because mm-hmm. they would be buying things in retail stores, at restaurants, movie theaters, whatever. That they're not now doing because they're going to casinos.
Yeah.
So the states lose sales taxes, and many times they don't make that up from the casinos. There was a very good study by the Indiana legislature which showed that in 12 states, in 8 of those 12 states, the state lost sales tax that was not equaled by wagering.
Well, Barbara, the other thing that happens, and it's going on in California, is that because of our property tax freeze under Prop 13, sales tax revenues largely flow to county and municipal governments. So if those are reduced and a gaming compact sends a tax on gambling to the state, then the communities lose that money and the state does not return it.
That's true, too. In Kansas, which has now voted to set up casinos under state auspices, the state will own them, the Wichita Chamber of Commerce, the business committee in Wichita, voted against having a casino in their county because a study there showed that the county would lose about $1.5 billion over 20 years mm-hmm. if they had a casino there.
And they shoulder all the costs for extra cops and improved highways and those sorts of things, the indirect impacts of
exactly.
these installations. Carol joins us from Warm Springs, Oregon. Thanks for calling, Carol.
Sure, thank you. I have to admit, I stream you in the afternoons because I graduated from UCSC, and it's kind of a touching, you know, touch home thing.
Well, I'm glad to be connected.
However, I want to really disagree with your attitude, basically, toward Native Americans. I've worked in Indian country for ever since I graduated from the university. And I got to tell you, I don't know what else you want to take away from people. You know, there was a concerted, I'm sure you know, historical effort, took their land, took their resources, took their language, took their culture. Now many of the tribes that I know of who have these new resources from gaming, which is the only thing they can mine on their land in some cases, are turning around and they're working very hard with tribal cultural centers, with trying to restore and save their languages, to teach their young people their culture and about their own heritage. And sure, there's problems. There's problems in any human endeavor.
Right.
But I got to tell you, for some tribes, this is it.
Well,
this
Carol,
is what they can do.
I hear you, and when it works, I favor it. When Native Americans are exploited by, you know, American corporations, gambling corporations, that essentially take the lion's share of the profits, run the operations, and benefit just a handful of members of a tribe, usually a council, I have real concerns, and there isn't much we can do about it, except talk about it, so that's what I do. Carol, I'm out of time, or I'd pursue the conversation. Thank you very much for
your
call. Barbara Dreyfus, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Peter.
The article's in the March American Prospect, Politicians Bet the Farm. Coming up next, we'll talk about a grueling campaign for judge in Wisconsin.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hillary has another story problem. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. She used the story in Ohio to put a face on America's health care crisis.
Talking to a deputy sheriff there, and he told me about a young woman who worked at the pizza parlor in town.
The unnamed woman was having problems with her pregnancy but couldn't afford treatment.
Hospital said, well, you don't have insurance. She said, no, I don't. They said, well, we can't see you until you give us $100.
So she went home, except it got worse.
Next time she came back to the hospital, she came in an ambulance.
And not only was the baby lost, but the mother never recovered.
And everybody worked for about 15 days trying to save her life. But they weren't successful.
When I heard that story, I said we have to check this. Not to pile on Mrs. Clinton, but if it really happened, we have to find out who turned that woman away. So we contacted reporter Brian Reed at the Meigs County Sentinel, who identified the woman as Trina Bochtel.
And she passed away in August of 2007.
But over the weekend, the hospital told the New York Times that the woman had never been turned away for lack of $100 and, in fact, did have insurance. And today, after first confirming Mrs. Clinton's story, the family is now backing the hospital. County Commissioner Mick Davenport is hoping that reporters will at least cover the real story, which is that Meigs County, like a lot of rural areas, still has no emergency room.
In a country this great, we should be able to provide at least emergency services in each county in this country.
That just wasn't news back when Hillary's tale seemed to be true, but maybe now it will be. Now this.
Check this out.
Hello there. How are you doing? Have you met my friend Bill yet?
Why is there some guy on the back of your bike winking at me?
Oh, that's my wingman. I saved so much money on motorcycle insurance by switching to Geico. I rented a wingman.
He has two tickets to paradise and needs a travel companion.
Hey, he is good.
Saving you money on your motorcycle insurance is our business. What you do with the money is your business.
Oh, yeah.
Geico Motorcycle. Let's ride.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero & Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero & Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero & Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Go ahead, take a deep breath.
Yeah,
there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Cindy Sheehan joins us at the top of next hour to explain why she's challenging Speaker Nancy Pelosi in her congressional seat in San Francisco. But first, what do the Siegelman case in Alabama, the U.S. attorney scandal, and other efforts to pack the courts from the Supremes on down, what's their connection? It's all about taking care of business, as in big business, corporate America. Joining us this half hour from New York University's Brennan Center of the Law is James Sample, whose turf is campaign finance reform and fair courts. Keeps you pretty busy, doesn't it, James?
It does. How are you tonight, Peter?
I'm glad to talk with you, and I'm glad you're working on this, and we're going to edify me and our listeners about this case in Wisconsin. In my intro, I gave just a tease of the backdrop here, but James, we have been deeply covering the case of Don Siegelman of Alabama. And I want to mention briefly that 60 Minutes did a follow-up story, a bit of a disappointment. They did recap the original story and offer a couple of clips from an interview with the former Governor Siegelman after his release on bail. But I don't think they gave it full justice, and I hope they'll revisit the story and really connect it to Karl Rove. And there are other issues submerged there about whether his last re-election was stolen from him and just the collusion of various people from William Pryor through Karl Rove, Bill and Laura Canary. I mean, it's a very intriguing little web there. And what drives it all, and this is what our reporter on this case, Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com, drove home to me in an interview last week, that a lot of this is part of a long-term plan by Republicans to pack the courts with pro-business judges. And this was somewhat in reaction to the master tobacco settlement that caused a lot of Republicans to say, whoa, we've got to protect corporate America. And just one more tidbit on this. Jeffrey Rosen wrote a powerful piece 2-3 weeks ago in the New York Times Sunday Magazine about the relationship between the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, their frequent filings of friend of the court briefs on pro-business cases, and the advancement to the court of Justices Alito and Chief Justice Roberts, who are both very pro-corporate. And so tell me, before we go into the Wisconsin case, your sense of this overarching scheme to pack the courts with people who will rule in favor of corporations.
Well, I mean, it's a very good question, and you certainly tied together a number of different threads there. I thought that Jeffrey Rosen's piece in the Times, I mean, if people haven't seen it, it is definitely a worthy read, and it certainly speaks to the degree to which, you know, by the time a U.S. Supreme Court decision comes down, you know, that's sort of when most Americans start paying attention to the decision and to the process itself. But it's a reflection in many ways that by the time a U.S. Supreme Court decision comes down, the story, I mean, it's the equivalent of sort of, you know, starting a book at the afterword, because there has been an extraordinary amount of work that has gone into the sort of creation of an atmosphere that is friendly to business. And, you know, in and of itself, you know, business certainly has as much right to representation and to a judiciary that follows the law as any other constituency, any other group in America. But they have, through really an extraordinary organization and a collective action feat of truly remarkable, if troubling, proportions, organized themselves in such a way as to really start and look at these courts, you know, years in advance, decades in advance, and, you know, their organization and their money has certainly paid dividends, and I think they're getting a real return on their investment.
Well, James, I don't know what your list of redresses would be, but in very simple terms, as I observe this situation, we need to change the way judges at the state Supreme Court level are put on those courts, because these direct elections in states throughout the South, including Texas, Alabama, Mississippi, create the environment where money can buy seats on those important courts. And we're seeing, you know, Karl Rove engineered the election of 8 out of the 9 justices on the Texas Supreme Court. He was involved in Alabama. He was involved in Mississippi. And I'm not trying to turn him into the total, you know, Diablo Darth Vader figure. But it shows that he was the architect of these efforts in multiple states to recontrol the courts in a pro-business way.
Well, I think there's a lot of truth to that. I certainly think that there's a lot of truth to the argument that the perception exists that justice is for sale in the state courts that are subject to direct election, particularly those states where the campaign finance laws allow for, in some cases, unlimited contributions. Certainly, in all cases, there aren't any limitations on how much interest groups can spend on independent expenditures, which is where the action in most of these state courts really is. And so you mentioned Alabama and Mississippi and Texas. This is certainly also going on in states like Washington State at West. It's certainly going on in Illinois, in Ohio, in Michigan, in Wisconsin, and a number of other states around the country. And the title of the Jeffrey Rosen piece that we referenced was Supreme Court, Inc., mm-hmm. Referencing the U.S. Supreme and the federal system. But you can be assured that there is very much a state court, Inc. dynamic as well. And you referenced, Peter, the Chamber of Commerce. Just to put into perspective the success rate that business is having, in 2004, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce's national arm, what they call their Institute for Legal Reform, got involved in 13 state Supreme Court races around the country, state Supreme Court election campaigns. And of those 13, they won 12. Hmm. So you can see that with that kind of success rate, they're not going away anytime soon, and so the question is really what to do. You mentioned changing the mode of selection. That's certainly a valuable idea. The problem is that it's been 20 years since any state in the United States went from a system of elections to a system of appointments, and yeah. I think appointments are better. I don't have a position on that question, but what I do believe is that whatever system a state has, whether or not they consider changing the fundamental nature of that system, they absolutely need to build in protections for due process in the systems that they do have. And, you know, there are a variety of those protections. One is, I think, public financing. Another is really strengthening the recusal rules for judges, and in some cases enforcing the recusal rules that already exist, so that when major donors, when groups such as a case in West Virginia that was just decided last Thursday, was decided on a 3-2 decision. It was two mining companies. It was business versus business.
Right, yeah.
You know, and the 3-2 decision, one of the judges in the majority on that 3-2 decision had received $3.5 million in supportive independent expenditures from the CEO of one of the two mining companies, the one that ended up winning in court. Now, it's just as a, on a fundamental level, it's un-American to walk into court and two companies litigating a contract dispute, one of them gave $3.5 million to a judge and the other one didn't. That's not how we, that, you know, that's an embarrassment on what should be one of the crown jewels of our system of government.
James Sample is speaking with us from New York University's Brennan Center for the Law. If you have a question or a comment, or if you're a judge who'd like to buy a seat, give us a call. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show is sponsored in part by Polypoint Press and John Gorenfeld's new book, Bad Moon Rising, about Reverend Sung Myung Moon and the Washington Times. Visit kingofamerica.com and watch the video. It's powerful. kingofamerica.com. Now, James, introduce us to the players in Wisconsin. We have Lewis Butler, the only African-American justice on the state Supreme Court. How did he get there, and is he up for a re-election and facing a challenger who has not been on the Supreme Court?
Well, Lewis Butler, as you say, the first African-American ever on Wisconsin Supreme Court, still the only African-American on Wisconsin Supreme Court, got there via an appointment from a Democratic governor. Their system is an elective system, but to fill a vacancy, Justice Butler was appointed to his seat. And then this year, 6 days ago, in fact, on April 1st, last Tuesday, he faced re-election against a challenger by the name of Michael Gableman, a lower court judge. And Judge Gableman ended up winning that election 51-49 vote.
Ouch.
And what was really striking about the election was the fundamental prisoner's dilemma that it put Justice Butler in as a candidate who decided to take the high road in terms of the tone of the campaign. 9 out of every 10 television advertisements that was run in this campaign, that were run in this campaign, were run by special interest groups, by groups on both sides, by, you know, the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce and by the Club for Growth for Judge Gableman, and then on the other side by teachers' unions and trial lawyers and groups supportive of Justice Butler. Judge Gableman, certainly the interest groups, the competing interest groups over whom the candidates have no control, you know, blanketed the airwaves. That is really what the voters saw in terms of television advertising, 90% of the ads.
Mm-hmm.
But Judge Gableman also went negative and attacked Justice Butler in an ad that a number of nonpartisan organizations, the Wisconsin Judicial Campaign Integrity Committee, groups like FactCheck.org out of the Annenberg Foundation, described in terms including the rather charged, but I think appropriate term of a Willie Horton attack ad.
Now, all right, let's pause for a second here, James, before I run out of time. I want to play the audio of this commercial so our listeners can hear it.
Yes.
Shadowy special interests supporting Lewis Butler are attacking Judge Michael Gableman. It's not true. Judge, District Attorney Michael Gableman has committed his life to locking up criminals to keep families safe, putting child molesters behind bars for over 100 years. Lewis Butler worked to put criminals on the street, like Reuben Lee Mitchell.
And this is the Willie Horton aspect of this, because here they bring in a case and they put up the mugshot of an African American right opposite Judge Butler.
Raped an 11-year-old girl with learning disabilities.
Pretty compelling, pretty amazing that in this day and age, this is still a tactic that a judge, a candidate for high court office, feels comfortable and feels is appropriate. Also misleading, in addition to the notion
James, let me ask you to hold there because we have to run to a break here, and I'll let you make that point. We'll also play a pro-Butler commercial after the break. If you have a question or comment about packing the court with pro-business judges, call me now at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, the Peter B. Collins Show.
At Homescapes Carmel, it's important to us that we appeal to both the senses and the sensibilities of our customers. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I invite you to explore, touch, and discover all the unique items we have at Homescapes in downtown Carmel. For importers like us, nothing beats finding eclectic and worldly things in their native lands and then bringing them home to Carmel by the sea. Homescapes Carmel is on the corner of 7th and Dolores, and as soon as you walk through the doors, you'll share in the thrill of discovery. We have a wide range of furnishings and accessories that exemplify wabi-sabi, celebrating the beauty, functionality, and morality of living green. At Homescapes Carmel, we're dedicated to our customers, to our employees, and to our community. We look forward to working with you to make your home the perfect blend of comfort, beauty, and individuality. Please stop by Homescapes Carmel on 7th and Dolores. We are open 7 days a week from 10 to 6. You can call us at 831-624-6499 or check us out at homescapescarmel.com.
AllEachMounted.com. Get all your receipts online. These paper receipts are killing our trees. 9 million a year, it's just wrong. Everybody,
AllEachMounted.com. Get all your receipts online. These paper receipts are killing our trees. 9 million a year, it's just wrong.
AllEachMounted.com.
Checking traffic on KRXA and looking good out there. No accidents to report right now for Aromas. We do have a stall on Zar Road at Forest Road. The westbound lane of Anzar Road is partially blocked. We had reports of some people near the roadway earlier. Northbound 101 at San Ardo. A couple of people off to the side with guitars and bags. CHP still on the way out there to get those people moved out of there. That may be causing a little heavy traffic as you go through the area. 17 Santa Cruz Mountains. No stalls, no accidents, but some road construction apparently going on in Santa Cruz. Northbound 17 off-ramp to Paso Tiempo Drive. That is shut down, so take El Rancho Drive and head south back to Paso Tiempo, and that should get you back on northbound 17. That's going to go on until June 7th, so that may cause delays if you're in the area. This report is brought to you by Michelin Tire. 60,000 miles, never felt so comfortable. Ask about the Michelin Primacy MX V4 tire at a Michelin dealer near you, or visit MichelinMan.com. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Michael Gableman, he narrowly won a victory over Justice Butler in a campaign that was tinged with racial references, Justice Butler being the only African-American on the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. We're discussing this with James Sample. He directs the programs related to campaign finance reform and fairness in the courts at New York University's Brennan Center on the Law. And James, I'm sorry we had to cut before the break there, but you were about to make another point about the Gableman-Butler campaign and I think some of the commercials.
Well, you know, I think the point, Peter, is really just that it's astounding on any level that anyone would run an ad that so clearly tries to obscure the importance of defense counsel and the right to defense counsel. In this the ad that you played, it doesn't make it clear to the average viewer, certainly, that Justice Butler was working for this individual while he was publicly appointed defense counsel. He wasn't finding, in the words of the ad, a loophole. He was making a legal argument about the defendant's fundamental constitutional rights. It's
so
also
he defended the man.
Yeah.
Right?
And this is, you know, this is one of the things that in theory, makes the United States a civilized place, is that you have the right to counsel when you're accused of criminal wrongdoing.
Because the commercial leaves the clear impression that as a judge, he released this man who then committed another crime.
Absolutely it does. And what's even more remarkable is that the individual ended up serving his full sentence. Now, you know, when the individual had served his full sentence, he got out and he reoffended again. But that had nothing whatsoever to do with Justice Butler. And, you know, for the viewers, for the listeners who obviously couldn't see the visuals, as you pointed out, Peter, the ad very strategically dissolves back and forth between the faces of these two African-American men and closes with a simple question, you know, can Wisconsin families feel safe with Justice Louis Butler on the Supreme Court? Well, of course, frankly, they can feel safe. And it's tragic that anyone would run this ad. It's truly beyond words that a candidate for a state Supreme Court would run this ad from his own campaign. This was, again, not some interest group. This was a man who's going to now sit on the Wisconsin Supreme Court starting next fall and displaying an extraordinary insensitivity on race issues and an extraordinarily extraordinary disrespect for the right to counsel.
Now let's listen to one of the pro-Butler radio commercials that was also run in this Wisconsin campaign.
Wisconsin scandal update. New troubling revelations about Judge Mike Gableman. First, an investigation uncovered evidence that Gableman was selected as a judge by Governor McCallum just weeks after he hosted a fundraiser and contributed $1,250 to McCallum's campaign. Next, media reports disclosed that Gableman actually charged taxpayers for working while he traveled over 500 miles to host the fundraiser. But now, the most disturbing of all, newly released records show that Gableman's district attorney's office was a virtual political campaign headquarters. In just 2 months before the fundraiser, more than 50 long-distance telephone calls were made from his office to campaign fundraising staff, other big campaign contributors, and political campaigns, all at taxpayers' expense, all while taxpayers were paying Gableman to fight crime. Call Mike Gableman at 715-349-2149 and tell him we need higher ethical standards for our judges. Paid for by Greater Wisconsin Committee.
And what was that phone number? Was that his cell phone?
Not sure.
Yeah.
Not sure.
Well, if you call now, you have to say Your Honor.
That's right. That's right.
Well, James Sample, what can we learn from this?
Well, I'll tell you, it's a good question, and I'm not normally a huge fan of John Grisham. I haven't read that many of his books, but I did read the book that he's got out now called The Appeal, and the story is essentially a story of a chemical company that, you know, buys a favorable ruling on appeal by funding the election of the judge who makes it. And the question is that story far-fetched? And I think what we can learn is that the story isn't far-fetched at all, and that there are scenarios around the country, really, in our elected courts, where the truth may be quite a bit stranger than fiction. And that is a serious problem. It's a serious problem when the average citizen, in some cases the average corporation, goes into court, and because they haven't paid to play, they at least don't have the appearance of a fair hearing. And, you know, in the judicial context, appearances matter for very good reasons. And so I think, you know, in areas where there are elected judiciaries, I think it's very important to push for public financing. I think judges need to play a role and be vigilant with respect to recusal. And I think that voters of all stripes owe it to themselves and to their fellow citizens to do the work of getting themselves more knowledgeable when it comes to judicial elections, because roll off is very high. People don't get that far down the ballot very often, and the truth is, you know, they don't vote because they don't know much about the candidates.
Yeah, and James,
if candidates are being defined by 30-second advertisements, you're not going to know much about them. So,
yeah,
you really owe it to yourself if you want a great judiciary, if you're in a state that's elected, to learn about the candidates.
And there's no perfect system here in California. We appoint the governor and the attorney general and one other official. Gets to appoint new judges to the Supreme Court, and then they stand for retention.
Right.
And the only cases where people have been bounced were the famous Rose Byrd gang,
right,
who were thrown out by people who supported the death penalty and felt that she was not compliant enough on that. And so the only time, you know, in California system that we've seen popular participation, it was likewise driven by big money interests who wanted to get some dangerous liberals off the court. And so, you know, I guess I feel that popular involvement in the court process is more dangerous than allowing cronyism and court packing to occur kind of naturally through the appointment process. It's a tough set of trade-offs.
It is a tough stretch. I mean, one of the amazing things is that the states that have judicial elections, in many instances, they move to a system of elections as part of the progressive era, as a way to take the politics out of the clubhouse and sort of get away from pure patronage systems. But the pendulum, I agree with you, Peter, has swung pretty far, and I think too far.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing this with us today. James Sample from the New York University Brennan Center on the Law. And if you would like to see the commercials we played or get more information on this Wisconsin case, which did end unhappily from my point of view, go to factcheck.org. That's the Annenberg Political Fact Check website, factcheck.org. And you can see for yourself and think for yourself. Thank you, James.
Thank you. Enjoyed it, Peter.
All right. Good to talk with you. Coming up next, we kick off the Free Speech Zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I know it's going to be lively. Cindy Sheehan will join us to talk about her challenge to Nancy Pelosi on her congressional seat in San Francisco. Join us on the phone toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. This program produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Grab a podcast and pass it along to a friend. The link's on the homepage at peterbcollins.com.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties. The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader, from Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor. You name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at thekingofamerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. More than 400 children have been taken into state custody in West Texas.
This is not about numbers. This is about children who are at imminent risk of harm, children that we believe have been abused or neglected.
Marnie Meisner of Children's Protective Services on the raid at the Yearning for Zion Ranch, a compound built by now-jailed polygamist leader Warren Jeffs. More from CBS News correspondent Manuel Gallegos.
What this is turning into in Texas is a massive child custody case, perhaps the largest in Texas state history. 401 kids, infants to age 17, have been taken from that polygamous compound along with 133 women, and a judge has determined that all of those children should remain in state custody, at least for now, because of either past evidence or potential neglect or abuse.
The raid was prompted by a call to police from a girl who says she was 15 when she and her 50-year-old husband had a child. The men have been confined to the compound, barred from any contact with the children, while state police continue to search every building. Anti-Chinese protesters forced officials in Paris to snuff out the Olympic torch and carry it by bus. Meanwhile, in San Francisco, demonstrators unfurled a Tibetan flag on the Golden Gate Bridge.
We came up here to bring the attention of the world onto the rights abuses happening in Tibet and to the way that China is trying to use the Olympic torch, the symbol of supposed international unity, to mask the torture and abuses taking place in Tibet today.
Laurel Sutherland was one of the climbers. Something new to worry about as you file your tax return. The Treasury Department's Inspector General for Tax Administration says the IRS computer system is vulnerable. A disgruntled employee or taxpayer or anyone with sinister intent could disrupt the system and steal data.
There are very few governmental sites that could withstand serious hacker attacks.
Internet privacy expert Perry Aftab says the only exceptions are the Pentagon and the Department of Homeland Security. The IRS agrees that it needs to improve oversight of who has access to its computers. Police in Polk County, Florida say this was an ambush. A teenage girl is lured to a friend's house, then punched and pummeled while a camera was rolling. Now, as CBS News correspondent Peter King reports, eight kids are under arrest.
Police say the eight were picked up after attacking a teenage girl March 30th. They say six girls fought her while two boys acted as lookouts. The victim's father says the group wanted to put the fight video on YouTube, but the mother of one of the arrested girls says the victim provoked the attack by threatening and insulting the other teens on MySpace.
The girl was treated for a concussion, bruises, and injuries to her left eye and ear. On Wall Street, the Dow picked up 3 points today. The price of oil picked up $3, rising to $109 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Hi, Mom.
What's all this?
I got you a cell phone, the Coupe from Verizon Wireless. Check it out. It's got a big keypad, easy-to-read screen, plus dedicated buttons for emergency contacts. It's everything you need.
Great. But what's with the 4 zillion people?
Oh, that's the network. They come with it.
Hi.
Good to meet you.
Hey, how you doing?
Good afternoon.
Welcome.
Hola.
Say hello to the Coupe, backed by the Good Housekeeping Seal, exclusively from America's most reliable wireless network, Verizon Wireless. Call 1-800-2-JOIN-IN today.
At Mercedes-Benz, we've recently engineered a great new way for you to own a Mercedes-Benz. It's called the Mercedes-Benz Certified Pre-Owned Event. Every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz features an extensive 155-point inspection and lifetime roadside assistance, so you know it's all Mercedes-Benz through and through. Get limited-time financing now through April 30th. And remember, if it's not at your authorized Mercedes dealer, it's not a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz.
See dealer for complete details and warranty coverage and roadside assistance. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles.
Your local post office might soon double as your local recycling center. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has the story.
For now, it's a test program at 1,500 post offices. Inside, you'll find white and green plastic, postage-free, pre-addressed bags.
Take a bag home, put your small electronics in it, and send it on back. No charge to the consumer.
Joanne Vito of the U.S. Postal Service working with a recycling company that will pay the postage and find other uses for the plastic and metal in your old cell phone, music player, or printer cartridges. This may come to all post offices by the end of this year. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
A post office in Madison, Wisconsin would like to recycle some turkeys into Thanksgiving dinner. Carriers whose routes take them near Owens Conservation Park are being attacked by wild turkeys. The birds peck and sometimes use the sharp spurs on their legs. One went through the open door of a mail truck and scratched the driver. A wildlife expert says the turkeys will calm down after mating season. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Tell me what you want. Dell has people talking, like the customer who wrote exactly what small businesses have needed for years. Need savings too? Take $250 off on a select Dell Vostro desktop with a 20-inch widescreen flat panel monitor featuring Intel Core 2 Duo processor. Put Dell to work for your small business at Dell.com/radio. Prices do not include taxes and other fees. Limited time offer. U.S. only, subject to change.
Hi, I'm the owner of an auto body shop, and since we added Aflac to our benefits package at no direct cost to me, all my employees say the same thing. I want
Aflac.
Since we added Aflac, my whole business is running smooth.
Call 1-800-99-AFLAC or go to aflacforbusiness.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from the dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Cindy Sheehan joins us this half hour. It's the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show. You can call in at 888-5-PETER-B.
I can't take it no more. You know you lied about how we went to war. I can't take
has devoted her life to ending the occupation of Iraq. She lost her son, Casey, in this conflict and has been trying for years to gain an audience with George W. Bush. So far, he has not found the time. And Cindy Sheehan has embarked on a new phase. She is running against Speaker Nancy Pelosi in the 8th Congressional District of California, that's San Francisco. And Cindy is running as an independent, so she will not face Pelosi in the June primary, but just on the ballot this fall. And I want to recap a couple of points. One is, I think this is an appropriate time for a disclosure that I've made many times in the past. I know Pelosi, and I did work for her as a media consultant on her reelection campaign in 1996. I don't have any current ties to her or her campaigns or the Democratic Party, for that matter. But it is a matter of record, and I don't attempt to delude or dilute that in any way. That said, Nancy Pelosi is not above a challenge from Republican, Democrat, or Independent. No one is. And I support everyone's right to run for political office, including Cindy Sheehan. But as I have said on this program in the past, I don't think that this is a real valuable use of Cindy Sheehan's time and effort. And I believe that it will be reduced to a sideshow, a media sideshow, and dismissed as a distraction. At the same time, since I do value the role that Cindy has played and the comments that she's made in the past that have changed my mind, and Cindy, explicitly, it was on the eve of your first encampment in Crawford that you and I spoke, and I kind of dismissed the idea of impeachment, and you argued persuasively, and in fact, you changed my mind at that time. So I welcome you to the program today, and I thank you for all the work that you have done to try to change the policies of this administration and end the ugly war and occupation in Iraq.
Oh, hi, Peter. It's great to talk to you again. I listen to you every night. Being an insomniac myself, so
oh, really?
you're not on till midnight here in San Francisco. So, yeah, I do listen to your show, and it's great to be on again. And, you know, if Nancy Pelosi was working as hard as I have been to end the occupations and to restore some kind of rule of law to our land, to, you know, obey the Constitution that she swore to uphold, then I wouldn't have to be running against her. And I think it's a very valuable use of my time and my resources, because the two-party system, as I've heard you say many times, does not really enhance democracy. As a matter of fact, it inhibits democracy. And we need as many voices as we can to make this a true democracy, to have everybody's position heard, not just the fat cat Democrats, not just the people who support Nancy Pelosi in her campaigns and in her speakers' packs, but really true grassroots San Franciscans and Americans. And I think this campaign is going to shake up the very core of American politics. And it's not going to be a sideshow. It's not going to be a distraction. We're here in San Francisco, and we're in it to win it. We're not just trying to make a statement.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I certainly respect that, and I will defer to you as the best judge of the use of your time and resources in every case, Cindy.
Well, thank you.
I'm pragmatic about some of these things. I know the numbers in her district, and we know the patterns of incumbents being reelected 95% of the time. She won last time with over 86% of the vote, and, you know, you may change that. You might bring her down into the 70s, or even, if you're very effective, into the 60s.
We know also that the voter turnout has been very apathetic in this district, that very few of those 86% really represent a true spectrum of the 8th district that contains all a variety of the demographics here are very diverse, mm-hmm. and not just, you know, the white conservative Democrats. So we're very... we have really been getting a lot of excitement here, and where our campaign is going to be heavily into voter registration, get out the vote, and give people a reason to actually go to the polls to assure them that they will have somebody to represent them. And, you know, we don't think that we're just going to bring her down into the 60s. We think that we're going to take away at least half of her vote and do very well, if not beat her.
Mm-hmm. Cindy Sheehan with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you'd like to talk with her, agree or disagree, 888-5-PETER-B, and that's our toll-free number, 888-573-8372. Cindy, let me tell you about my two deepest disappointments with Pelosi as Speaker and the Democrats in control of the House.
Right.
Number one is the abject failure to confront the Bush administration and to cut off funding for the war. Earlier today, Congressman Joe Sestak, a freshman from Pennsylvania, was on the show. And I asked him point blank, I said, is there any strategy this year to use the supplemental funding bills to change the administration's policy, put restrictions on it, and bring the troops home? And he said no. And they basically are making a shameful political calculation that, you know, 40 lives a month and $12 billion a month is a tolerable cost to get us through this and maintain a negative case on the war, hoping that that will propel Democrats to victory. So, number one, that's my biggest disappointment. And number two, her pat phrase about taking impeachment off the table is one of the most monstrous errors that Democrats have made in my lifetime. And it's not that I am an idealist who felt that they would actually go all the way through with impeachment.
Right.
I felt that the very threat of it is something that might have kept some additional eavesdropping from occurring. It might have kept one brigade from going to Iraq. It might have prevented what we still fear is the interest and the intention of Dick Cheney to see us launch a military assault on Iran. So those are two very fundamental disagreements I have with the Speaker. How would you govern differently if you were elected the Congresswoman from San Francisco?
Well, obviously, those are the two main reasons that I'm running against her, because of the war funding and because of her impeachment off the table issue. We found out, just a few weeks ago that in 2002, she was briefed on torture as a member of the House Intelligence Committee. Jane Harman was on that committee. She wrote a letter in opposition to it. Nancy Pelosi did not. I don't care if, you know, you are a member and you swear an oath of secrecy. Oaths of secrecy do not belong in a republic. We need transparency for security. And one of the visits we made to Lynn Woolsey last year in May, when we were visiting Congressman Conyers, she said, "Cindy, I go to the speaker's meetings, and not once do they talk about the heartache this war is causing. They talk about how they can use it to their political advantage." And I'm with you. I think they are not using it to their political advantage. I think that if they would stand up boldly to the Bush administration, say, we'll give you enough money to safely bring our troops home, we'll appropriate money to help the people of Iraq, where Nancy Pelosi has even said that they're not doing their fair share. I mean, we need to give them all the money and resources they need to rebuild their country without having our occupying troops there, and to start the impeachment proceedings, get as far as they can with them, and we don't think that's happening. So we know that there's a movement to have them indicted in every community in the country, and we're going to try and do that here in San Francisco also.
888-5, Peter B., if you'd like to join us. Cindy Sheehan with us till the bottom of the hour. Don from Eureka, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, I'm honored to be talking to you, Cindy, and to you, Peter.
Oh, hi, Don.
And I almost want to cry.
Aw. Don't get me started.
So wonderful. Where your heart is, your honesty and integrity. And I'm sorry, Peter B., that you feel like that this is a joke or whatever.
I wouldn't use that word.
But let me speak. That the most important thing here is that we need to get people who care about others besides just themselves and their own self-interest. And Cindy is definitely one of them. I make regular contributions to her campaign, and
I'd love to
do more, and I'd like to hear her contact number to get a little bit more involved than I am.
All right, Don, and thank you for sharing your feelings. I really respect you for that. And I do understand that Cindy represents for many people an expression of the pain and the mind-numbing nature of the politics of our time. And irrespective of, you know, my position on her run against Pelosi, what Cindy has done to galvanize those of us opposed to this war and to win over many people who were either not paying attention or felt that it wasn't their problem, these are contributions that I will always value and respect Cindy for. We're going to take a break when we return. I do want to give out contact information for the campaign. Don, thank you for that suggestion. And Cindy, stay with us. We'll be right back. 888-5 Peter B. If you'd like to join us, 888-573-8372. We're talking with Cindy Sheehan on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, I'm J.R. Medina, owner of PG Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue in Pacific Grove. My family and I are proud to serve the finest selection of beer, wine, liquor, and non-alcoholic beverages in the Monterey area. Our store is evolving beyond adult and soft drinks. We serve freshly brewed Acme coffee, the finest breakfast burritos, and now Nathan's hot dogs. We're open daily. Come by and check out the big, big selection and low, low prices at PG Liquors. That's PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Checking traffic on KRXA, and a couple of things going on right now. Zavala Road north of Alisal Road, a couple of containers of oil apparently in the roadway may cause a mess. CHP is on the way. Summit Road at Morrell Road, we have reports of an accident. Vehicle hit a deer. That's actually off to the right-hand shoulder. A tow truck is being dispatched to the area, and we're getting reports of a new crash in Gilroy. Fraser Lake Road at Bloomfield Avenue, an SUV overturned, went off the roadway, apparently took down some power lines as well, and we have a grass fire burning as a result. CHP just on the scene. It looks like fire department also headed out there. Highway 68, no problems right now, and some slow traffic south 17 onto southbound 1 in Santa Cruz. This is brought to you by Orkin Pest Control, where you see one pest, you know there's more. Visit OrkinMan.com for a free online pest test. Orkin, keeping pests in their place. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Thank you.
not off my table. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show with congressional candidate Cindy Sheehan challenging Nancy Pelosi in the San Francisco 8th Congressional District this November as an independent. And, Cindy, on the impeachment issue, again, I give you a lot of credit in our first conversation before you went to Crawford. You really opened my mind because I was just thinking, we're not going to get anywhere with this. We don't have the votes. And I want you to know that as recently as, 3 weeks ago in Washington, I was cornering John Conyers and saying,
come on,
we really need to hold these people accountable. We need to know what illegal acts were done, and we need to set a standard so that this hopefully would not occur in the future.
Well, and absolutely. That's what it's for. It's for the future. It's to rein in the executive branch. It's to restore balance in our government and a balance, really, because the people are sovereign in the United States, and I think that our leaders have forgotten that. And it's been a deep disappointment that my hero, John Conyers, has been so, wishy-washy about this. And he'll say anything to anybody just to get them off of their back, and that's been a big disappointment
well,
to us.
David Swanson,
thank you for confronting him.
You bet. David Swanson, who we both know, has been very active, Democrats.com after Downing Street. He sent out a report today that Conyers is moving. He wrote a letter last week threatening the White House with impeachment if they made any violent overtures toward Iran. Again, that is a prospective use that I'm not opposed to, but I believe that if we had held them accountable and exposed the wrongdoing and their intentional violations of their oaths of office, the most fundamental contract they have as our top elected officials, that, number one, it would have produced political benefits. The Democrats always argue, it would have sucked all the oxygen out. We couldn't have increased the minimum wage. Well, I think that's...
No, I agree. I agree with you.
That's patronizing BS.
Well, it's saying that there's not 435 members of Congress, that all are in separate committees anyway,
mm-hmm.
and many things can get done at the same time in Congress. Liz Holtzman, who sat on the committee to impeach Richard Nixon, says it's an insult to Congress to say those kinds of things because, they aren't able to chew gum and walk at the same time.
Yeah.
But, I'm having my doubts about that because George Bush has a very low approval rating, but Congress's approval rating is even lower.
Right.
And, they need to stand up for something. They need to stand up for the American people. And are they going to impeach George Bush after hundreds of thousands of Iranians have been killed in their, potential invasion of Iran?
Mm-hmm.
They really need to be restrained. And if it's a Democrat or a Republican as the next president, they need to know that they don't have these imperial powers either.
Yeah.
And if, something had happened to Richard Nixon besides him resigning and going off to play golf for the rest of his life, maybe we wouldn't be in this position right now. So I think it is very fundamentally important to hold these people accountable.
Here's an email from Vicky in Colorado. Peter, glad to hear Cindy's coming on. By the way, I still disagree with you on this one. The Dems threw Kucinich under the bus, as they did Cindy. Luckily, Dennis had enough local Dem backing in Cleveland to get his nomination. Just taking impeachment off the table is enough reason to run against Pelosi. Pelosi's not representing Dems. She is not the only one, of course, but speaking the truth has to start somewhere. Thank goodness Cindy is not willing to play the politically correct, corrupt game.
Well, and that's one of the reasons I'm running as a declined estate. And I know you're a declined estate also.
Yes, I am.
Because I don't want to be tied to any political ideology, that we can speak truth to power. And if it's a truth that is uncomfortable to Democrats, then it still has to be spoken, and people still have to challenge the powers that be, because it has gone, the House of Representatives is supposed to be the people's house. It is not a house where, people can go and make careers out of it if they don't represent their constituents. And Nancy mm-hmm. Pelosi has not represented, like I said earlier, the grassroots, the regular citizens that get on BART every morning with me when I go to my office, the ones who are scraping by trying to find affordable housing and bringing our troops from Iraq and Afghanistan, bringing our tax dollars home, reducing Pentagon spending and spending it in our communities is so important for peace and prosperity.
And Cindy, give us a website and other contact info for people who want to support you.
Great. It's Cindy for Congress, Cindy, FORCongress.org. And our phone number is 415-621-5027. We're at 1260 Mission between 8th and 9th in the SoMa area in San Francisco. And we've just been getting a lot of excitement and gaining a lot of traction here on the ground. And,
let's jump, I think it's
going to be a very exciting race.
Mike in Fair Oaks, 30 seconds. Go, Mike.
Hi, how are you both today? Thanks, Cindy,
great,
for talking with us.
Thank you.
I agree with you. I remember her daddy, Mr. Murtha, grooming her for many years to run the military-industrial complex for the Democrats.
Well, her two biggest donors are Lockheed Martin and General Dynamics.
All right, Cindy, thank you very much.
Thank
Always
you,
a pleasure.
Peter.
We'll talk again.
We
certainly will. Mike, thank you for the call.
Welcome.
This is the
Peter
B. Collins Show. Free Speech Zone, your calls are next. 888-5 Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Spring has sprung at All Class Transportation, and the All Class Transportation team is offering awesome spring savings to KRXA listeners for all of April. Call All Class Transportation at 831-582-9338 to travel in the ultimate in comfort and style. For example, a party of eight can rent an All Class Transportation luxury limo for the bargain basement price of only $55 an hour. That's right, folks. I said only $55 per hour with a one-hour minimum. All Class Transportation also has luxury SUVs and sedans for even less, and again, with a minimum time of just 1 hour. If you are looking for an airport drop-off or pickup in Monterey or San Jose at a great price, look no further than All Class Transportation. For additional information, call the All Class Transportation team at 831-582-9338 or email them at allclasstrans@att.net. Times are yard to yard. Gratuity is not included. And vehicles will be rented subject to availability. Remember, for all your transportation needs, call Marina-based All Class Transportation, TCP 22978-A at 582-9338. That's 582-9338.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale and am currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark Lecluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Sofas, dinette sets, mattresses, and more. If you have a home furnishing need, we're the place you need to be. So come on down to your friendly town of Marina and visit us. Furniture Outlet, 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in Marina.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
You're listening to the greatest talk radio station on the planet, KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, sponsored by Poly Point Press and John Gorenfeld's new book, Bad Moon Rising, about Reverend Moon in the Washington Times. Visit kingofamerica.com and check out the vid.
Bouncing off a satellite.
Saturday night, San Jose at a corporate arena. Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band performed for almost 3 hours. It's the sixth time I've seen the boss. I'm a little jaded. But I can't think of anybody who works harder in show business, especially since James Brown has left us. And yeah, you know, some of those songs sound a little bit alike. But what is so impressive, he has a rich and varied catalog of tunes. And as I looked around me in the arena, at kids of all ages, including some 70 and 80-year-olds, and some teenagers, everybody knows every word to every Springsteen song. It is amazing. Special mention for little Steven, fresh off the Sopranos. He was rocking big time, Max on the drums, and the big man, Clarence Clemons. I don't know if it was hips or knees that he had replaced. He's not as fluid and danceable as he used to be, but he sure can blow that saxophone. And if you tuned in Friday and thought you were listening to Radio Nowhere, that was our plight. We had a technical breakdown of a little $300 gizmo here at my secret studio, and it would not allow the signal to go to the satellite to bounce to our affiliate radio station. So we had to go to our standby reruns. I have no idea what you heard, but I know that the phone was ringing off the hook, so apparently you enjoyed it quite a bit. But we've got most of the problems squared away. There's a box on the way from Florida that should fix it all later this week. But we're glad to be on the air with you. And my lines are open, 888-5-PETER-B in the free speech zone here. They're all right available right now. And I want to hear your reaction to Cindy Sheehan's comments. You know my position. It's a pragmatic one. I agree with Cindy on the issues. And I agree that Pelosi has been a great disappointment. I just don't think she can be beaten. And I think that instead of opening up a left flank on Nancy Pelosi, Cindy Sheehan should attack the right flank of a blue dog like Mike Thompson, nominally a Democrat, or actually try to take out a Republican. Because then she could be a member of Congress and really get under Nancy Pelosi's nails. So let me know what you think about Cindy, and about Peter on those particular issues at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Cliff Schechter is a regular on our program, and his new book is not even out yet, but it's just cruising way up there on the Amazon charts faster than a speeding bullet. Cliff, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. How are you doing?
Not too bad. So the book is really, really happening, and it's not on the shelves yet? Is that it?
Yeah. It was released a few weeks earlier on Amazon, which often happens, and it'll be, you know, it's shipping right now. It'll be in all stores by May 1, but we'll be in some before then, so check your local store. But, of course, it's on Amazon right now. And I mean, today has just been phenomenal. I just can't say enough about people in the progressive media. We decided, my publisher and I, that we were going to go that route. You know, we could go. We had some stories that were huge that we could say we're going to take straight to, you know, some corporate media folks. And we said, you know, and it's not that we don't want to do those shows and do that stuff too, but we want to really build the progressive media way the right built their media 30 years ago. And the response has just been phenomenal.
Well, I certainly appreciate that. But if Bill O'Reilly calls, I want you to go on the show. You've got to alert us that you're going to do it, and then we want to watch the train wreck.
Oh, well, I promise you, you know, and I know Bill O'Reilly listens to your show. So I'll just say this right now. Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity, Ann Coulter, any place, any time. I enjoy debating those people. They're a lot of fun because the truth is it's all smoke once you get past it.
It's true, yeah.
It's a joke. But, it's been amazing. We're getting the story out there on McCain. A huge story broke today, starting off with our friends at Raw Story, and got around on a number of different blogs about how McCain treated his wife in the past.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute, and then I just want people to know that Cliff's going to join us again tomorrow for a full segment. 4:30 Pacific, is that what we said?
I think so.
Yes. No, 4 o'clock.
Oh, oops. Okay. Well, I've got it written down somewhere correctly.
All right. Don't be late.
Yeah.
Now, this is a story that's a few years old. It goes back to his 1992 Senate reelection campaign. But this is an example of his sensitivity, his quick flaring temper, and that apparently no one, including Cindy, the wife who is the from the beer baron family that has made John McCain the multimillionaire that he is, he turned on her.
Yeah, well, you know, and I think that annoyed me. I don't want to go after her personally, but she's playing the part of, you know, being the good president, you know, or presidential candidate spouse right now, and that's fine. But I heard her say something on her show a few months ago. I'm trying to remember if it was on 60 Minutes or somewhere where they're talking about McCain's temper, and she said, "I don't know what they're talking about." She knows what they're talking about, and
yeah.
It's just something where, you know, if this is the way you'll talk to your wife in front of your people that work for you, in front of reporters, in front of others, then, you know, people need to think about someone. Particularly when she was kidding with him at that moment, and I was shocked when I heard this story. It was definitely one of the ones where I was out doing some research in Arizona, and I was just like, wow. And I knew it had to be a part of one of the chapters where I discussed his temperament and whether he's somebody we want making those decisions in the White House.
Mm-hmm. So this wasn't on a Straight Talk Express, but they're somewhere, and wife Cindy starts playing with John McCain's hair, twirling it, and I'm an out bald man, so, you know, I'm not offended by this. And she allegedly said, "You're getting a little thin up there." And so this ticked him off. The description is his face reddened, and he responded, "At least I don't plaster on the makeup like a trollop, you see." And this is the four-letter word for a woman's private parts that is illegal to utter on the radio and is something I find pretty offensive even in intimate conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I think to say that, if I ever said that word or anything remotely close to it to my wife in private conversation, I would be living under a bridge somewhere right now.
Yeah.
The thought of saying that in front of other people, and it speaks to, you know, this is the way he'll lose his temper. This is the lack of control. We've heard it before with him cursing out his senators from his own party, Domenici and Grassley and others that wouldn't speak to him for years. We've heard about it with, you know, he did the same thing to Barack Obama 2 years ago or a year ago on the lobbying reform, and you know, where he chastised him publicly. He's got this holier-than-thou attitude, and it's like he's got a chip on his shoulder wherever he goes, and he's always right and you're always wrong, and if you dare challenge him, and they're passing this off as bipartisanship, as a guy that reaches out and blah, blah. And that's why people need to know about these things, that he's mm-hmm. not the image they're being fed.
And two quick questions, Cliff, and then I want to go back to some more phone calls. Lines open, by the way, at 888-5-PETER-B. Is John McCain a warmonger, in your opinion?
In my opinion, yes, he is.
Uh-huh.
He settles, I mean, and there are going to be other things that are going to come out that are in this book, but he settles his disputes. You know, he looks to fight first. To me, that's a warmonger. I mean, that's, he looks, you know, whether it's
person to person or whether it's country to country, his response is not to discuss and come to an amiable agreement. His response is to fight it out.
Well, Ed Schultz introduced Obama in North Dakota over the weekend, and he, in his warm-up remarks, referred to McCain as a warmonger, and the corporate media is treating this as the equivalent of Bill Cunningham in Cincinnati, who did the warm-up for McCain by repeatedly referring to Barack Hussein Obama and making some other slimy comments. In my book, while Obama may have felt that this wasn't at the level of his lofty campaign rhetoric, I don't think this was a personal attack, and I don't think it was inaccurate.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's utterly ridiculous. It's another example of how the media tries to find this false equivalency in what is said. You know, Jeremiah Wright, we spent how many weeks on this and ridiculousness. The guy made a couple comments, that, which I wouldn't agree with, and I'm someone who was there on 9/11 in New York and witnessed it, okay? So not something that I'm happy about and something that will be with me forever. But to compare that to a guy that is constantly advocating, like a Reverend Hagee or Parsley, who's near me here in Columbus, or others that support McCain, you know, who are Pat, you know, or Jerry, the late Jerry Falwell, who said that we deserve 9/11 because of AIDS, and Hagee, who wants to go nuking foreign countries to bring about the Armageddon. You know, to claim that, you know, in moments of anger, things that Jeremiah Wright said are anything close to doctrine from these guys. It's just the same garbage, the same false equivalency they try to force down our throats.
All right, one more, and that is, what's your take on Randy Rhodes' comments in San Francisco that have cost her a suspension from Air America?
I think that the comments are inappropriate. I don't think she should have been suspended. I believe in free speech, and I mean, I'm not saying that there are no limits to that speech. I do think she what she said was wrong, and I think she probably should have apologized for it. I think good comedy and everything, but I do think that probably was a little bit over the top. But at the same time, I'm a huge fan of hers, and I think she has a right to speak her mind. And I don't think the station, nobody at Rush Limbaugh's station has ever stopped him from singing songs like Barack the Magic Negro and things like that that he does that are absolutely despicable.
Yeah, there's no question that there isn't fairness on, you know, both sides of the political spectrum in talk radio. I guess for me, the fundamental issue is that, like Don Imus, this use of the term whore is a, you know, a white person trying to get into the hip-hop zone. And I think it falls flat. It certainly bit Imus. And, you know, that to me is more offensive than the F-bomb, which you can understand in the context.
Oh, it is to me, too. I don't mind. No, that's maybe just my taste. I don't mind the F-bomb in there at all. I think the other part was the worst part.
Yeah. All right, Cliff. Well, look, we'll talk tomorrow more about McCain, and thanks for the update.
And I'll just say thank you to everybody for who helped make this book do so well today.
Oh, and is there some big announcement on the Huff Post tomorrow?
There will be there and a few other places. We've got some big stuff coming up, yes.
All right, where else should we look?
You should check out Crooks and Liars, you should check out Open Left, and you should probably have some good stuff going on there.
All right, thank you, Cliff. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, take care, Peter.
All right, that's Cliff Schechter in Columbus, Ohio, the author of The Real McCain, and check it out at Amazon.com. It's racing up to the top of the bestseller charts almost as we speak. We go to Susan in SoCal listening on KRXA. Welcome, Susan.
Hi, Peter. How you doing?
Doing well, thanks. Go ahead.
Well, I only caught the very end of Cindy's. I didn't really have to hear it. But fine. She can run. She is a upstanding, stalwart person. And what? I'm sorry, my grandchild is here.
Oh, you lucky so-and-so.
I am very lucky.
Yeah.
He's my favorite boy in the whole world.
Oh, good. Enjoy.
Anyway, the thing that Cindy does is she brings attention to things. She's so good at it. She's so straightforward, you know, that people get what's going on, just like you did. You got the message from her. And
she's very persuasive.
Win, but you know what? She gets the attention that's needed to the issue so that people start looking.
Right.
And frankly, I feel, I mean, this is the truth from my negative lips to yours, that, or your ears, that, there, you know, there has been a coup in this country. We do not have the same country we had before. Still there?
Yeah, it's just the music coming on. We're going to a break. Okay. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
Right. Well, and anything that can be done to draw attention is fine. We need to become one.
Thank you, Susan. 888-5-PETER-B. More calls in a moment in the Free Speech Zone. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins.
love coffee, I love tea. That's why Coffeetopia's the place for me. Coffee and tea, the honey and me. At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Coffeetopia at 1723 Mission Street and 3701 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz offers the finest in handcrafted espresso drinks, whether it's a traditional Italian-style cappuccino or a sweet caramel macchiato. We offer a range of full-leaf teas, a choice of chais, including our new Zawadi African chai, and organic coffees. Coffeetopia also carries local baked goods fresh daily, including French-style pastries. Or try a toasted bagel with one of our exclusive non-dairy bagel spreads, either garlic dill or smoked tofu. Coffeetopia, Santa Cruz's oldest internet cafe, offers both free wireless and computer terminals for those who need them. Coffeetopia. Remember, we're here to help.
At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Checking traffic on KRXA. A minor injury crash still clearing up in Gilroy. Fraser Lake Road at Shore Road. We had a vehicle overturn, go off the roadway into a ditch, took down a power pole, and then apparently started a fire with those power lines down. So fire department, CHP on the scene. Look for some heavy traffic as you go through the area. South of Gilroy, South 101 after Highway 25. A big piece of lumber, that's in the left-hand lane. From Marina, northbound 1 before Light Fighter Road. We had reports of somebody with a stroller walking off to the right-hand shoulder. Definitely drive with caution if you're at the scene. Highway 17 currently checking in, still an accident free. Of course, that everyday heavy traffic, South 17 onto Southbound 1 in Santa Cruz. This traffic report is brought to you by Subway $5 footlongs. Hurry into Subway because right now, for a limited time, get any freshly made mouthwatering regular footlong sub for just $5. $5 Subway. Eat fresh. Have a great night. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Stretch here on the Peter B. Collins Show. 9 minutes in front of the hour. Still room for a call or two if you'd like to check in the free speech zone at 888-5-PETER-B. Is there anyone within the sound of my voice who happens to agree with me, not about Cindy Sheehan's politics or the failings of Nancy Pelosi, but simply that running against Pelosi is not productive? Now, she dismissed my idea that it's a sideshow, that the media will ignore her, and that it's not the best use of her time and energy. And she's the best judge of that. But from my perspective, I would rather see her in a contest against a Dan Lundgren. Well, that Bill Durston's doing a pretty good job there. But you get my point. There are Republicans and some conservative Democrats who are much more egregious in their failures or their outright offenses than Speaker Pelosi. And maybe people think I'm just an apologist for her because I know her and used to work for her. But I personally don't believe that's the case. I just take a look at this, and I know the numbers. And I know that it is, there's one case in my lifetime where Tom Foley, the Democratic Speaker of the House, was unseated from that post by losing his congressional seat in Washington State. But that's a rarity, and given the current situation, I'm actually willing to squeak through to another cycle here, another 2 years, and see if with a more progressive membership And the numbers show that Pelosi should expect Democrats to pick up somewhere between 20 and 30 seats, maybe even more, this November. Well, I would like to see how that plays out and see if, with a Democratic president, fingers crossed, that we'd have a very different climate and that Pelosi could shine as a speaker, moving her caucus to the left instead of slavishly following them to the right. Maybe you think that's a pipe dream. I do know that many people are just so frustrated and so desperate to do something, anything, that they say, well, Cindy, go for it. And I understand. I understand the frustration, and I understand this sense that do something, anything. But, again, I'm this kind of pragmatic guy, and I would rather see us put our energy and resources into campaigns where a difference really could occur and a change could be made. 888-5-PETER-B. React to that if you'd like. Jake's on the line from Eureka. Hi, Jake.
Hey, Peter B. How's it going?
Good. I got some snail mail from you.
Oh, yeah. Good.
You're working on the minimum wage.
Yeah, well, as it turns out, there hopefully in Eureka will be an initiative on the November ballot increasing the minimum wage in phases in Eureka up to $10 an hour. And I don't think that's a lot to ask, but unfortunately, the Eureka Reporter, the local newspaper owned by real estate developer Rob Arkley, mm-hmm. who gives millions to the Republican Party every year, they wrote an editorial saying that workers in Eureka don't deserve a raise in the minimum wage. And they didn't even use factual information. They actually tried to say that most people on the minimum wage don't have to worry about, you know, feeding children or taking care of a family. That's not true, unfortunately.
No, it's not.
No.
So have you been banned from the letters to the editor at the Reporter?
Well, I haven't had anything I've sent to them in the past several months printed, and my response to the editorial was not printed either. I assume that I have been banned from the Eureka Reporter.
Mm-hmm. All right. But that's not why you called today. Thanks for the mail, by the way. I appreciate it. And let me just mention, some people don't have email, and if you ever want to send me something, drop it to Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. That's two words, Mill Valley, California, 94942, and it's Box 100. Go ahead, Jake.
Well, Peter, I was calling about John McCain and the, you know, outrageously beneficial treatment he receives from the corporate media. I mean, they don't criticize this guy on anything. I mean, he can make outrageous claims that the Iranian regime is training al-Qaeda, you know, but they pretty much let that go. You look at the situation where he's actively courting the support of right-wing fundamentalists who said so many crazy things, where do I even begin? I mean, John Hagee, look at him, this Texas televangelist. He has said that the Catholic Church, I quote, is the great whore and a false cult system. Rod Parsley, who John McCain calls a spiritual guide, warns there's a war between Islam and Christian civilization. And Rod Parsley says, the fact is that America was founded in part with the intention of seeing this false religion destroyed. Rod Parsley, John McCain's spiritual guide, openly calls for a war to eliminate Islam from the face of the earth, which I'm assuming would include the 1 billion Muslims as well. And the media just lets this go like it doesn't even matter. What's the deal, Peter B?
Because he's a straight talker. No, it's some kind of Teflon, and we've got to work on that. Free Ride is the name of the new book from David Brock and Paul Waldman at Media Matters for America. And they've done a great job of exposing the way the media has given John McCain truly a free ride. Jake, thank you very much. Let's go to Chris and Salinas. Hi there, Chris. You're on the Peter B. Show.
How you doing, Peter?
Not too bad.
Hey, I tend to agree with you as far as Cindy Sheehan running against a really corrupt Republican and such. But Nancy Pelosi, you know, really needs someone to show her the light, maybe, you know, and give her a run for her money. And there's one thing that really does bother me, though, is I wish Sheehan would have ran as a Democrat in the primary, mm-hmm. and not an independent in the general election. You know, I don't know San Francisco politics that well, but is there a chance a Republican can speak in there if she takes enough of Nancy Pelosi's vote away?
No. Republican registration in San Francisco is under 12%.
Okay.
And so that's again one of the structural reasons why I don't believe Cindy can win. There's a long shot possibility. I mean, if everything lined up her way and Pelosi was exposed, you know, with a gay boyfriend or something, well, San Francisco probably wouldn't hurt. I'm not sure what could bring her down unless, you know, she's shown to be even more corrupt than some people suggest. I don't think she's deeply corrupt. I think she is a player in the system, and she knows how it works, and she has used it for maximum effect. But I don't consider her corrupt in the way Duke Cunningham or apparently Jerry Lewis would be. Thanks very much for your comment, Chris. George in Monterey, you get the last word tonight.
Okay, thank you very much for taking my call. I was listening to you earlier, probably 45 minutes ago. You were on the phone with a woman. I think perhaps she's running for Congress or some.
Cindy Sheehan is running against Nancy Pelosi, yes.
Okay, and so I think she brought up the name President or Richard Nixon during the talk, when the time you were talking to her, perhaps. Now, you know, and I just barely caught the end of it, but it didn't seem like she was really in favor of President Nixon, so to speak, but... There's something that I'm 56. I had to register for the draft during Vietnam, and when they had the lottery going on, the year before the war was over, I was the number one ping pong ball. Huh. My birthday was drawn first.
Wow, I was number four.
Here's something. Eisenhower led us into Vietnam. Kennedy he heightened it. Johnson didn't know how to get us out, and Nixon pulled us out of a war where we were being slaughtered for absolutely nothing, absolutely nothing.
Well, but it was after he doubled down and a lot more people died.
Well,
George, I'm out of time. Trigger's here. I got a ride, but thank you for the call, and call me earlier next time. We can talk longer. I appreciate your participation in the show. Thanks for listening. PeterBCollins.com is where you can find a podcast.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties.
The Christians is centered on Satan.
The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader. From Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor, you name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at The King of America.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It's a massive operation, probably the largest in Texas child welfare history. CBS News correspondent Hari Srinivasan reports on the raid at the Yearning for Zion Ranch.
Buses flanked by State Patrol squad cars have now brought 534 people from the reclusive compound of polygamists on the border of El Dorado, Texas. 133 women and 401 children.
Those children are all in protective custody while authorities try to get to the bottom of what was going on at the ranch.
The followers are part of the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, a breakaway group from the Mormon Church. They are polygamous followers led by Warren Jeffs, a self-proclaimed prophet now in prison on charges of arranging marriages between adult male followers and underage girls.
One girl has told police that when she was 15, she had a baby with her 50-year-old husband. That man, Dale Barlow, pleaded no contest last year to a charge of conspiracy to commit sexual conduct with a minor. Barlow's probation officer says he's in Arizona. Like moths to a flame, anti-Chinese demonstrators are drawn to the Olympic torch as it travels to Beijing. Today, with protesters scaling the Eiffel Tower and grabbing for the flame, officials were forced to snuff it out and put it on a bus. Sky TV reporter Greg Milam expects these scenes to be repeated again and again.
Certainly what's happened in London yesterday and what's happened in Paris today will have galvanized those protest movements. You can be sure to think that if they take enough action, they can stop this torch, they can force it to be extinguished and loaded onto a bus and cause huge embarrassment.
In San Francisco, protesters climbed up the Golden Gate Bridge and unfurled a Tibetan flag. It's Kansas and Memphis tonight playing for the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman is at the Alamo Dome and joins us live.
Well, Bill, tip-off just a few minutes away, but again, as March Madness a little more than 2 weeks ago comes to an end here tonight in San Antonio. As you mentioned, Memphis and Kansas facing off for the national championship. Memphis, which has won 38 games this season with only one defeat, is the favorite. Memphis is led by its star freshman guard Derrick Rose. Kansas's record isn't too shabby either. 36 wins, just three losses. Kansas is looking to win its third national championship.